We have a quorum, so let us begin. Ms. Cadet, you're up first. Oh, you're going out there. Thank you. So it's Wednesday, October 21st, 2013. I will call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order. We do have our, is the TV working?
No.
Okay.
Right now we don't have, we are not on the air. However, the meeting can continue and the audio is working.
Okay. And we've got video here, but we don't have on the air. Okay. This morning we had a no-show, so I asked Mr. Cadain if he could lead us with invocation to begin. And Mr. Medrano will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise and take off any hats. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this gorgeous day you've given us today. Guide us here around the circle, Lord. Let us glorify you in all that we do. Let us bless you and praise you in all of our deals here today at the council, our amendments and whatnot. Lord, be with our mayor. Guide him. Lead him. He's got a great job for a great city. Be with all our men in blue. Guide them. Keep them all safe from harm and evil. So take care of us now, Lord. Teach us what you want us to know, and let us do your will in all that we do. In Christ's name, amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Cadain. Well, I want to say thank you to all the council members that rode in the Ride Your Bike to Work Day. So I heard that many were there, and it was the first year I wasn't able to. I had to make a speech this morning on domestic violence, which was important. But I rode on Saturday down here on my bike, so it's great to have the Santa Fe Trail, and we are continuing to become a bike-friendly city. We've got a long way to go and a lot of work to do, but thank you, council members, for advocating and demonstrating that. Mr. Atkins, did you ride?
Yes, I rode. I just want to thank Scott and Phil and Jennifer and Alan Medrano and Rick Kleiman, Dwayne Carraway.
And
Jennifer was on the female riding, so she get all the kudos this morning. But it was great that you saw so many people who live downtown was riding their bike to work. I mean, and that was the best thing. I got to give the prize to Lee Kleiman. He rode his bike from his house to downtown. He packed his suit on his back, and he came ready to work. So it's amazing to tell you that a city is going to be a healthy city and a vibrant city because we're going to be one of the cities that had the best exercise and health process going through the city of Dallas. I know, Scott, you want to say something.
Yeah, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. And it was just wonderful. We had 8 council members this year ride. So I think we've set the
nine.
We had nine ride this year. So next year we got to shoot for 10, get the number up. And we had upwards of probably 80 residents and citizens of the city of Dallas riding. So it's an absolutely beautiful morning. It just shows how positively the public is responding to our bike initiatives here at City Hall, and we'll keep those moving. So look forward to having you next year, Mayor, and we'll get it on the calendar now.
We'll do it. Is there something in the spring too? For some reason, I was thinking we'd do it in the fall. We do it in the fall, and we do something in the spring. You don't.
Well, yeah, I think you just signed up to chair an event. The mayor's office says that we'll get your people over there working on that.
I'll do it. But thanks for your leadership in that, and it would be great if we get all 15 of us at one point. All right, let's get on with this morning's business, and we will listen to our open microphone speakers. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the record, the meeting did start at 9:05. Your first five speakers are Jasper Backus, Antoinette Williamson, Napoleon Weatherspoon, Dancy Robinson, and George Johnson Jr., as we did have a cancellation. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. If your name was called, if you would come closer to the podium, which is the front of the stage, that would help facilitate the speaking process. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council, will be removed from the room. You should state your name and address for the record, as well your comments need to be directed to Mayor Rawlings. Again, in your allowed 3 minutes to speak, you will notice the timer at the podium. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. Again, your first speaker is Jasper Backus, followed by Antoinette Williamson.
Good morning. Hello, my name is Jasper Backus, and I am the founder and owner of this T-shirt ministry, Go Get It Fashion Wear. Our motto is, little things make the biggest difference, and understanding beats the world. And we came to share the good news of Jesus Christ by promoting our business. We are raising funds through our T-shirt ministry to build upon a legacy started by our father some 52 years ago. It has been our dream to empower men and women who were formerly incarcerated to be skillfully and gainfully employed with a trade that can bring independence to them and economical growth to our community. Be a part of the job-creating movement that our president outlined in creating a strong economic for all Americans. We are coming to the faith community, business owners, and organizations to assist us in raising capital. In turn, we will give back to each order 10% of the gross profit order to sow back into your ministry, business, or organization to show our appreciation. Our clinic was burnt up in December 2012, and the insurance did not pay. So we need your help. And ways to support are, number one, on October 25th, we will be hosting a fashion show at Southwest Center Mall in Macy's Foyer. And also, we would like for you to get a Go Get It movement shirt and represent National Save a Soul Day and Save a Soul. And the time is at 7 p.m. And the second thing you can do to support this cause is order a Go Get It t-shirt or a shirt. And we have raffle tickets, and donations is accepted as well. And also, we also have orders, your own event t-shirt through us for any occasion, family reunions, and much more. And we will make Go Get It t-shirts to match your colors, clothing, any tennis shoes or something like that that it can match. And we offer many colors with three logo styles and sizes fitting from small to as many X's as possible. And we just ask support from the city councilmen and mayor and all those City Dallas residents. And that's what we're here for, because we need your help.
Thank you, Mr. Backus.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Antoinette Williamson. Not present. Napoleon Weatherspoon. Not present. Dancy Robinson. Not present. George Johnson Jr. Not present. Mary Smith. Not present. Wallace Smith. Not present. Arnetta Baldwin. Not present. Michelle Brady. Michelle Brady. Ms. Brady will be followed by Jonathan Vance, who is the last speaker registered to speak this morning.
Come on down to the front. Thank you.
My name's Michelle, and I've come to give voice to the poor, God's gift, and people like Job. Dallas is about to celebrate the life of JFK. Meanwhile, our city has been in the process of filling management positions. Have our old city managers and leaders honored JFK? Do they have a governing approach that ensures one city, a city that guarantees the sovereignty of the people, is equal to those who govern? Is there a great division between City Hall and the poor today that threatens the dignity, rights, and liberty of the poor? I've heard council members say in 2010 to old city attorneys that employees should be on City Hall's team, and we in turn should be protective of our employees because they work for us. Meanwhile, as a poor person, I've seen a crack in the mantle of leadership in our city that seems to think it is all for the right thing for officials to dupe, intimidate, or take advantage of the poor's lack of insider knowledge to get their way. As God's gift once asked our court, where do we go from here? Will Dallas be a place where city appointees and employees refuse to backtrack and apologize if city staff or even top officials violate or conspire against the poor? Will leaders, to use Councilmember Davis's word, engage in unconstitutional coups against the poor and then, in order to escape cover for wrongdoing, engage in other coups? The poor need defenders of the people. They don't need great kings and defenders of City Hall. Poor people don't need leaders that would silence, discredit, or ostracize them for exercising their duties to stand up to the problems in our legal, judicial, and political communities that adversely affect the poor and that threaten a government of the people and by the people. The poor don't need officials that would rob the poor of liberty and then try to censor and intimidate them for wanting to talk about the parties in our government who participated in this. In a government of the people and by the people, public servants should never refuse to respond to citizens who have made reports of city wrongdoing, and servants should never encourage lawyers throughout the community to refrain from helping the poor bring justice and public accountability to top officials in Dallas's legal and judicial community. Public servants like politicians, attorneys, and managers should never unify to silence, discredit, or mispaint poor victims of governmental wrongdoing as misinformed or unrighteously angry. They should never suggest to the poor in private that things could get a lot worse for them or that managers would be sent over to change records to discredit the poor if they continue to speak about problems in our courts or our council. Public servants like city managers should never implement practices to intimidate the poor into silence and yield to unlawful or unjust government problems. Whenever things like this occur against the poor, our city will never be among the best and the brightest. City leaders will refuse to have a fair and honest discussion about governmental deficits. The poor will be enslaved, and those who have done wrong can continue to do what they want to do or pass over into retirement without accountability. Meanwhile, the best and the brightest, the real defenders of the people who would try to be honest with the public and take on an entire political, legal, or judicial community, lose faith, leaving Dallas and its poor with one less voice of the people, much like we're left with one less defender of them when Kennedy was assassinated almost 50 years ago. So that these things never happen again to Dallas, go to facebook.com/bettergovernment to read about how one great defender of the people was violated by our courts and City Hall covered this up. Let us please work together as one city to forge a new one, and thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Ms. Brady.
Your next speaker is Jonathan Vance.
Thank you, City Council, for letting me speak today. I encourage you to go to that website that my friend, my fellow poor person, has referred you to. I will say nothing more other than I will ask all of you, Caraway, Atkins, everyone that participated in this event, to really learn from this experience. And I know that no matter what I say here now, there's the potential for further cover-up and further abuse of power, conspiracy against rights. And I trust that you will do the right thing and that own up to where leaders have failed so that the people can learn from that. And AC, excuse me for addressing you, I appreciate you coming forth publicly and apologizing recently about another issue.
Mr. Vance,
I understand, Mr. Rawlings. And I pray for all of you. I have no evil intentions, no ulterior motives other than the truth, the absolute truth. And I will try to do that always for everyone, for the poorest and the weakest among us. God bless you all.
Thank you, Mr. Vance.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your morning speakers.
Thank you. We will begin with our approval of minutes.
Thank you. Item number one is approval of minutes of the October 8, 2013 City Council meeting.
We've got a motion. We've got a second. Any edits or additions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Excuse me. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I apologize. There was a cancellation, and one of the reasons why the lady canceled was because she couldn't make it, and what she wanted to talk about was the Be Covered event, Care Fair, this Saturday, that there is a flyer for each one of you council members, if you have a chance or if you can share with your constituents about the information that we will be providing on that day, this Saturday, October 26th, from 9 to 3. It's at the Dallas Convention Center, and it's the Be Covered Texas Care Fair, and I hope that everyone that is listening will participate, both Spanish and English is the flyer. Si pueden venir, por favor, los pedimos que nos acompañen. Gracias. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. Item number two.
We've got a motion and a second on the minutes.
Yes, we approved it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate that. We move now to your consent agenda. Your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 46 and addendum items number 1 through 12. There were several items pulled for individual consideration. The first set are by Councilmember Kingston, which is agenda items number 9, 12, 20 and 21, 31, 44, and 45, as it is also a collective item with 44. Addendum items number 1 and 2 were pulled by Councilmember Alonzo, and Councilmember Kingston pulled addendum item number 6. There's also a correction. There were two corrected items on the addendum. That was items number 28 and 29. And just to let the record reflect, agenda item number 42 pertains to District 5. It kind of notes that it's District 4. Therefore, with all of the pulled items for your consideration as part of the remaining consent, agenda items number 2 through 8, 10 and 11, 13 through 19, 22 through 30, 32 through 43, 46, addendum items number 3 through 5, and 7 through 12.
I will entertain a motion, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to make a motion, but I wanted to add, if I could, Mr. Mayor, to put back addendum items 1 and 2 as I have my answers. So if I can include on the motion to approve what you just read with inclusion of addendum item 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now to
Mr. Mayor,
yes,
before we move
I'm sorry,
on to that,
Ms.
do you Kingston. Mind if, are we, we're off the air right now?
I don't know if they got the plug working again.
We are still off the air.
Okay.
Do we have an ETA on when that gets fixed?
Hold on.
Ben, would you come on up here and just so that we can make sure we answer Mr. Kingston's question?
WRR is still up?
That answer your question?
That does. Thank you, Mr.
Okay.
Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your first pulled item is agenda item number 9, authorize a 5-year master agreement for Cisco communication equipment and SmartNet maintenance, AT&T, through the State of Texas Department of Information Resources contract. Councilmember Kingston pulled the item.
Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Colleagues, thanks for the time. The first thing I wanted to ask about this, Mr. Gonzalez, is it's $11 million over 5 years for phones. I'm just trying to understand, just because the backup documentation doesn't give me a lot of information about what we're spending $11 million bucks on. Can you just give us an overview?
Yes, I'm looking for this.
Mr. Kingston, this is actually not just phones. This is all of the routers and switches. It's every piece of network equipment today that connects almost 400 buildings across the city.
So, I mean, the reason for the dollar figure is it's just a big project.
Well, it's big projects. It's also replacement of end-of-life equipment, et cetera, things like that. So.
And that's just kind of how much it costs?
It ranges anywhere from $1.5 million to $2 million a year when equipment expires or we expand the network, depending on the business needs.
I feel sure I speak for my colleagues when I say we want you to have what you need. Did this go to a committee?
No, sir.
I don't know, colleagues. My point in pulling this is not to waste our time. It's that $11 million is something we ought to take a look at. You know, that's like 11 M&Ms. So if we're going to have agenda items like this, I think these, you know, over some threshold, maybe these ought to go to a committee. With that said, we apparently need it. My motion is to approve.
Thank you. We have a second. We have a motion and a second. Discussion. Mr. Atkins.
Mr. Kingsley, I'm glad you brought that point up. Every other week, we generally have a meeting with a procurement, which has been going on for the last 7 years. You are welcome to invite it to be at that meeting. It has been open to discuss those issues. I wish that you will come to our committee meeting. Monica Alonso was with me when this item came up. We do ask all those questions, and you'd be welcome, and the colleagues welcome to come to that meeting. We generally have it after every briefing at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. We change it, and if you have any question pertaining to procurement, it's open. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Mr. Allen.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a good point about the procurement and the way that the council goes about that, because I know you've been doing that, Councilman Atkins, for really since day one to make sure that the procurement's out there. And this is another great example of just showing how the process works, so that we do have the ability to pull items, take a look at it. And I know for these items, when we put these items on, we normally get 2 week advance notice, something like that, is when they come out. So we have a 2 week advance notice, and that process is if we do have these questions, staff will come, and we can go to hear exactly and get the details on that. And then, and the backup is always this procurement also. So there's a great process in PLAR. The main one being the fact that you can pull these items and then have that discussion as we just did. So thank you, Councilman Kingston, for pulling and having this discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mrs. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let me ask a question. On some of these procurement items, are they open bid process still?
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Davis. On this item today, we went through a formal solicitation. We had 8 proposers that came in. AT&T provided a cooperative pricing, which is an aggregate of the state of Texas pricing, which drove down the cost, which gave us the best price for the city of Dallas.
And is it because they're the biggest as well?
I'm sorry.
Okay. If AT&T supported the bid process as well,
yes, ma'am.
Right?
They submitted a bid using their cooperative pricing from the state of Texas.
But they are one of the big boys as well. So
yes,
how would it give opportunity for a small business to participate?
Well, we use we put all of our solicitations out in the Dallas Morning News. We use the Chambers of Commerce. We meet with the Chambers of Commerce and the advocacy groups to look at our upcoming forecast on procurements to give everyone the opportunity to have a fair playing field for the city.
Well, that's not a, well, let me say this. I'm going to support this, but somehow AT&T needs to be in the business, I think, of supporting, making sure that they support those small vendors as well. Do we have anything set up where they can go back and support small vendors on contracts like this?
I do not have any language in their contract specifically to go support.
So there is no minority participation in the contract at all. See, Mr. Mayor, I think that's what's not fair. And I understand, Tanelle, the AT&T, it's a good thing. I'm supporting of them, Mr. Mayor. But they don't have in their contract where they go back and support small businesses. And it has to be something like that in the contract. Because let me tell you what will not happen. Those small businesses will not grow. And you're taking a big boy. This is like a big elephant in the room. And you got little jellyfishes floating around them, and they're just floating around the big elephant in the room. So they'll never be able to grow, those small businesses. So why will we not put something in the contract where they have to subcontract to some of those other small businesses in that same field? It might be some other little things that they can go out and subcontract to those smaller companies.
Well, the majority of this contract is hardware. So hardware is
from the manufacturer. It's all about the numbers. Right. You might have $1 million in cable wire, mm-hmm. but there might be five Latino and African American companies out there who can do something around the cable wire that makes the cable.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Correct. This item is primarily hardware.
So, for something as big as this, I would think that they would need to put something in here that support those type of small businesses. So we're just going to let it go and go, AC?
Ms. Davis, we have been working in a number of different ways to see about encouraging the bigger companies to be utilizing either subs or others.
It's going to pass, but I think this is something that we need to pull off the table and go back and say, I'm going to be supporting them and I'm going to be voting for them as well. But somehow they need to go back around the table and make sure that those small subcontractors can at least participate in the process.
Yes, ma'am. And we hear that concern, and we have been and will continue to work to see about how we can involve the larger companies in supporting those efforts.
Okay, so we don't want to pull this and to talk about it. It's too late at this point is what you're saying.
For this particular contract, I believe it is.
Well, so at this point, then, AC, why don't staff come and at least talk? Tanelle, did they talk to you about making sure that those small subcontractors can get some type of support out of this big elephant in the room?
Ms. Davis, again, in procurement, when you do co-op, it's go through the whole state.
Well, this is not a co-op deal.
It is a co-op.
It's not a co-op because the small minority participation is not being involved in the process.
According to the staff and according to...
They'll tell us anything.
Okay, according to the staff and the process... that we do co-op, and there is a flaw in co-op when you go out and try to get the best price. When you get the best price, sometimes you do exclude the small business, but we always encourage them and say, what is the opportunity there for a minority business to be part of this? We always tell them to go back, and try to find someone to do that. I do hear you. I will... with you, along with anyone that's on the council, how can we address the co-op with the large business, and how can we manage those small businesses that, hey, you know, every year we do roughly about $600 million purchase order contract with all these different people. They should be looking at the agenda and at those different line items and need to get in that particular business when they do come up, they can promote themselves to be there. I agree with you 100%, but we need to work on that. And I would be glad to work with you or anyone on the council to do it. But that's what we're facing, you know.
But this is really sad. It really is.
Statement.
And I know that it's just sad that we still continue to fight this process. Small businesses are just getting sucked up like a, it's just floating around. And there's no education component out there to help them. There's no minority participation environment to help them. It's just really, really sad. And we hear this day in and day out. They have to be worked. And when you're dealing with large companies like this, you would think they would have a minority participation to ensure that those type of small businesses are accepted. So, you know, I'm going to go on and support this, but it is something I think, Mr. Atkin, in economic development, just like, you know, you and I work very well together, but this is something that I just think we just need to continue to talk about. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Ms. Davis. But and let me just say that in what we're talking about here, as related to AT&T and Mr. Atkins, I think that you stated it well. That there is a procurement component with AT&T, and there are relationships that have been in place for a number of years with minorities and participating. We may not see it, and it may be reflected here, but certainly I do believe that AT&T does have a reputable procurement operation or department. So, I mean, I'm going to, of course, move forward with this, knowing that that's what it is. It's big business, it's big time, it's big relationships. But certainly, I think that if indeed we need to take a look or have meetings with AT&T in the future to reassure ourselves that participation is there, I think that conversation is doable. However, at this particular point, I'm more than certain that they have a procurement, that some folks are participating, those that can. This is a limited situation as in hardware, and someone out there may be able to contribute. But then there are certain areas of expertise where it's limited, it's a very limited field. One is in chemicals. When we deal with our swimming pools, it's very difficult to find minorities that are in that form of chemical that can compete and offer the city those types of services. So I understand that, and I'm very supportive of it. But I hear Ms. Davis, and Ms. Davis, I think we should get a meeting with AT&T so they can just come and brief us and bring us up to date as related to their minority procurement participation. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Carraway. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Mr. Mayor, all I wanted to share with yourself and Mr. Gonzalez, as well as Jeannie and Mr. Frosch, is that maybe we can have a briefing on procurement and maybe get a better feel of it, as well as the fact that we have new members, so they can also have an understanding. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. We'll put that on the agenda for a briefing. Thank you. Mr. Allen.
You know, that's probably a good point, too, about the briefing. But and then as we do that, it would be important, I think, Mayor, as we do this, as we try to grasp and get our heads around exactly as we talk about these large companies such as AT&T, Southwest Airlines, all of the big ones that provide such a economic benefit to the city of Dallas. We go out and we hustle these businesses to come in. Quite frankly, mostly you take the top three or four, top two probably, and they have more revenues than even some of the districts that we have that come back in. And it is important because you do have big companies. And as we peel the onion back on these, what we would see, and this is why it's probably important that they actually come and get in front of us to show us all the economic value mm-hmm. that comes back in mm-hmm. and then show us, too, what they've done in regards to their outreach program, mm-hmm. because I know they have departments that they do that. And so it's important that we attract businesses. It's important that we understand their economic value that they come into, and it's important that we continue to put our arms around these big major players and clap for them and thank them, and at the same time understand how much they bring to this city. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Mr. Allen, you're absolutely right. This is something that starts at the city, making sure that those values are there in their contract process. And not to say that AT&T is not worthy of this contract, but it starts here as we write the contract, as you go and do the bidding process, what you're looking for. That's all I'm saying at this point. I'm not saying that AT&T is not worthy of this contract, but what I am saying is that purchase department have to be able to put in the language, look, this is what we want to make sure you're doing, that you got percentage goals, that making sure that participation is being involved in this particular bidding process.
And that's the balance that we have with the cooperative purchases that Mr. Atkins was referring to. We went through the procurement process. We have a council policy, that the business inclusion and development policy, that has goals specific to categories. And when we looked at the pricing associated with the bids that came in, the proposals that came in for the city, and compared that to the aggregate, the cooperative, there was a 4% delta in the pricing. So that was significant pricing over our own City of Dallas procurement with the State of Texas comparison. And we looked at that. And then we looked at the opportunities that were subcontracting or scopes that could be allocated to small firms. And since we're buying, majority of this is going to be hardware, there was very little opportunity. So we looked at, we had to make a decision on that at that point.
And this, this is hardware for what?
Phones? Telephones, yes, ma'am.
Okay. And there's a lot of companies. There's a lot of minority companies in the phone business. So, I don't want us to just keep saying that, you don't at least have two or three minority companies around the world that perhaps are into the phone business. They are. So it's just how we write it up. This is how we see it and how we deal with the scope of work.
Okay.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. We've got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. We will skip to item 52.
Agenda item number 52 is authorize a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement in the amount of $1,500,000 to KRR Construction Limited for the acquisition and redevelopment of improved property commonly known as 3540 Simpson Stewart Road and 3546 Simpson Stewart Road, Dallas, Texas, for the Simpson Stewart Bonnie View Grocery Store project, including associated closing costs, pre-development, relocation, environmental, and demolition costs. We do have 10 individuals signed up to speak on this item. I will read those names. Individuals will be allowed 2 minutes to speak. You will notice the timer at the podium. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. You will need to state your name and address for the record as well. Your comments need to be directed to Mayor Rawlings. Speakers are Lori Price, Stephen C. Nash, Daisy Gafford, Gail Terrell, Sequinta Townsend, Antoine Wiley, Deborah Haynes, Maurice West, Alan Richardson, and Joseph Kemp. Again, your first speaker, Lori Price.
Could all the folks that were named come on down to the front? And again, since we're so many people want to speak on this issue, which we're very pleased about, we're going to ask for everybody to stay under 2 minutes and give us their thoughts. Please.
Good morning. My name is Lori Price. I serve as the Chief of Staff for the Administration for Paul Quinn College. I'm here speaking on behalf of the institution as well as for President Michael J. Sorrell, who's out of town. I do have a statement from President Sorrell and the college. We applaud the work of Mayor Mike Rawlings, Department Mayor Pro Tem Tanel Atkins, and developers Joe Kemp and Deborah P. Keynes in presenting a development concept for this portion of the Highland Hills community. Our understanding of Mr. Kemp and Sister Haynes' goal is to construct a senior citizens facility and a grocery store. We believe, if properly done, both of these projects will continue to improve the quality of life for the people of our neighborhood. Paul Quinn has been an aggressive advocate of addressing the food desert issue in southern Dallas. While Paul Quinn College is not materially involved in this initiative, we will always support people who seek to engage, lift, and serve so that our part of Dallas shares the same caliber of services as the more affluent areas of the city. As long as this project meets that standard, it will bring much-needed positive economic development to the education corridor and serve as a wonderful precursor to our own efforts to further engage, lift, and serve our neighborhood and our city. We look forward to the City Council's continued commitment to the citizens of Highland Hills. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Stephen Nash.
Good morning, Mayor Rollins and Deputy Mayor Atkins, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, to all of the City Council members. I'm Stephen Nash, the pastor of the Mount Tabor Baptist Church, located at the corner of Highland Hills and Simpson Stewart Road. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you, and just to thank you for the proposed development. It's a long time coming. I greet you in behalf of the Mount Tabor Church, where we own about 30 acres in that area. I stand before you to support the proposed development right at the corner of Simpson Stewart and Highland Hills Drive. Talk about a grocery store, multifamily provisions, and retail development, and all of that's exciting to me and to the members of our congregation. It's been a long time coming, and thank you, Mayor Rollins, for your Growth South initiative and all of the tireless work you do to make it happen. Thank you so much. As you know, as a key landholder, we're interested in what this project says to our community and to the times, and certainly to Dallas. Salute you, Mayor, for being one who keeps his promise, and we look forward to it happening. So we ask that you would, as a council, approve the project and make it happen, and we'd like to see it happen as soon as possible. So we say yes to fresh produce, to fresh meat, yes to a fresh approach to meeting an unmet need right in the Simpson Stewart area. I thank you. We can push and scream and holler, and we are adapted to doing that, but we don't want to be busy doing that. We would like to roll up our sleeves and work with you and the developer in meeting this need for our community. I'm sure that if we work together, we can make it happen. So I say to the City Council, to our representative, and to all of you, thank you, and let's make it happen.
Thank you, Pastor Nash.
Daisy Gafford.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Daisy Gafford.
Hi.
I am. My address is 5931 Roseville Drive, Dallas. I stand before you today in support of your agenda item number 52. As many of you know, I can't say all of you, but some of you have been out into this area. You know that it has been long neglected, and we do need some development in the area. This area is located on the mayor's education corridor. And less than a year ago, we had some development on the corner, a convenience store. That has spurred a lot of movement in the area. We noticed that the only service station that we had out there has started revitalizing his corner. The citizens in that corner, in that area, are very excited about any development that we see. There was a great turnout for the new library that is coming into the Singing Hills area. And just a little small ice machine component, people noticed that. I ask and urge you to please support our councilman and help us to get this development started and going. It does give hope to the citizens in the community.
And when you hear young kids excited about what's going on and they're waiting to see what else is going on, I think it's about time that we start acting and we do something to try to bridge this gap across the city. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you so much for your leadership.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Gail Terrell.
Good morning, Mayor Rollins, my councilman, Mayor Pro Tem Tanel Atkins, Deputy Mayor Alonzo, and council members. My name is Gail Terrell. I live at 1445 Fireberg Drive, Dallas, 75241. I am the Park and Recreation Board member for District 8, and I served as the chair of Area 3 under the former mayor's Southern Dallas Task Force. Most recently, while serving as the chair of the mayor's task force in Southern Dallas, approximately 50 members, which were volunteers from Area 3, which is the project site we are talking about today, met once a month for 18 months. And the recommendations from the communities was our number one item is we need a grocery store. However, today I'm speaking as a resident and the vice chair of the Southeast Oak Cliff Communities Leadership Association, CDC, a neighborhood-based coalition of homeowners association and crime watch committees, which are in the project area. I live 2.4 miles from the project site. Getting to this point has been a long process. Talking to grocers, retailers, and developers trying to generate some interest in Southeast Oak Cliff, we first demonstrated residents' demand for a grocery store in 1992. We understand that population density, income, and locations are key factors to help determine where a grocer will locate. However, we know that economic incentives play a vital role in that decision. This needs the economic incentives described in item 52 in order to bring better goods and services to the voters and residents in Southeast Oak Cliff. I ask for your support and your vote for item number 52. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tripp.
Your next speaker, Sequinta Townsend. Townsend will be followed by Antoine Wiley.
Good morning. My name is Sequinta Townsend. I reside at 3245 Simpson Stewart Road. There is no grocery store in my community. A grocery store in my community equals jobs in my community. A grocery store in my community means easy access to fruits and vegetables and other foods at fair prices for families who may not have transportation. A grocery store in my community could uplift my community, giving us a sense of worth. One in five children, particularly in minority communities, are diagnosed with diabetes. Most diagnoses are type 2 diabetes, which is avoidable through diet. Many of our children in the community are forced to shop at local convenience stores that only offer high in fat foods. Some of my most memorable lessons was learned while grocery shopping with my mother, how to shop, how to compare prices, and so on. City Council, please vote yes for our children.
Your next speaker, Antoine Wiley. Antoine Wiley, not present. Deborah Haynes.
Good morning, Mayor, and to Mr. Atkins, Ms. Alonzo, and all the city council persons. My name is Deborah Peak Haynes, and my business is Quorum Commercial at 1409 South Lamar, Suite 249. Over 2 years ago, I came to Mr. Atkins and I said, Mr. Atkins, I really think that I could put together a deal at this corner of Bonnie View and Simpson Stewart. And I've been working on that deal ever since. I am very pleased to say I've been able to bring together entities that want to make this happen, make this a viable redevelopment, and keeping in line with the mayor's Grow South deal. And so I am very excited to be here today. And this is just the beginning. This is just the start. There's so many other services that this community needs. And so I'm asking for your support to help us make this happen. The 2 years that I've been working on this, a lot has gone on to pull the pieces together, but we believe we have this together and we're ready to move forward. So I ask for your support, and this is just the beginning for quality services that this community has been needing for so many years. And so I thank you very much for listening to me today, and I thank you very much for your support.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Maurice West. Mr. West will be followed by Alan Richardson and Joseph Kemp.
Good morning, all. My name is Maurice West. I'm a longtime resident and supporter of an even better Dallas. I am a staff member at Paul Quinn College, and I stand before you to speak on behalf of my full support for the economic development of the grocery store and additional development proposed at 3540 and 3546 Simpson Stewart Road. This long overdue and yet sorely needed project will bring added resources, jobs, and an economic boost to this community. The city and the community deserve it, and will, after many years, destroy the abandoned stores and center which exists on that corner of the neighborhood at Bonneview and Highland Hills Road, where a library and future development are being planned. This project is being developed and designed by Mrs. P. Haynes, who has a track record of success in the city. It has also been greatly received, and the support for what it can do and revitalize this area is critical. I am optimistic that this project, will help to end the food desert and the conditions that this community currently faces. We will see the improvement of a neighborhood that has a great economic promise and also has two colleges within it. This will be a great start for what has been, again, sorely missed, and I do hope that this and other projects are developed in a first-class manner, that not just for this project, but also will take care of and restore economic states and also things for these residents. I stand before you thanking you for this time and also hope that this project gets full support.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Alan Richardson.
Good morning. My name is Alan Richardson. I live at 3245 Simpson Stewart Road. This particular project 52, is a need in our community. The closest store is probably a mile and a half, 2 miles away. We have people that are not privy to cars, and the need for this particular store at this particular site is really a great opportunity for communities. We sit in the neighborhood of a historically black college. You know, students really don't have money, that much money to spend at these high-end convenience stores. So I support item 52, and I pray that you would embrace it and help see it through. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your final speaker on the item is Joseph Kemp.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. City staff. My name is Joseph Kemp, and I reside at 1015 North Duncanville Road. I have been working with...
If you can be just closer to the mic.
I'm sorry. I have been working with Ms. Haynes in order to develop the grocery store that we're asking for your support today. Back in 1999, I also saw a need in this community for housing, which I have 180 units there of affordable housing. Mr. Atkins, Ms. Haynes, we've all worked together to put this deal together, which would complement the new library, the new street in this area that growth is badly needed. We would strongly ask the City Council to support this proposal that we have before you today in order to better the lives of the people in the community. I would not go on any further. I just really would like to have your support in your Grow South initiative, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you for coming down.
That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We haven't had a motion yet, have we?
No, ma'am. I mean, no, sir.
Do we have a motion?
I have a motion.
Do we have a second? All right, we'll have discussion. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Akin, I know that I'm going to support you on this, and you went on and got the motion out of the way, but I'm going to ask the pastor to come up. Pastor Reverend Nash, would you come up, please?
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to set up a meeting, have you to meet with me, with Ms. Ragsdale and Joe Kemp. Could you be available to sit down with us so we can meet to hash out some old business?
Be delighted to meet with you and the said parties. We just need to get calendars together and make sure we can make it happen.
Okay, and that's all I'm going to do at this point, but I would like that meeting to be set up as soon as possible with, and Mr. Atkins, you're welcome to be
no problem,
part
I'll be there.
Of that meeting. Myself, Joe Kemp, could you please come to the mic as well?
You're done with me.
No, we're both of you there. Joe, so to be Ms. Atkins, myself, Joe, and Reverend Nash, we will set up a meeting at ICDC, can you find some busy time in your schedule to meet us at ICDC one day next week?
I'm always open.
Okay. Okay. And bring
Ms. Davis, mm-hmm. Can we do it? If we try and do it one day next week, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we have a
We take it offline about the scheduling? We'll get everybody's calendars out here right now.
Everybody's calendar together, and then we will meet. And Reverend Nash, I ask you to continue to work with us. I appreciate you for working with me on this very, very important matter, and so we can move forward. Mr. Akin, I'm very, very excited about this new development that's coming into your district, and so that's all I have to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Oh, excuse me. Before we take other further discussion, I jumped over something. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The following statement will apply to this item as well as items number basically 50 through 55. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent that they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, this item requires 2 seconds.
Yeah, Mr. Carraway was the second. Thank you. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me just say to everyone here and to Pastor Nash, Laurie, you represent the President quite well, Paul Quinn, Dr. West, you all are here, Mount Tabor, and Gail, and everybody, especially you guys up there. How y'all doing? Hands up on the deal. Good to see you. Paul Quinn, for example, in this particular area, where, and I'm very familiar with it, we still have some problems in that area, in those apartments there on Bonneview, right, you know where they are, Tanel.
In Simpson Stewart.
And I can recall the Popeye's chicken that was there on the corner. I can recall the fact that Popeye's, when they shut down, that was like, that was just terrible. But the corner went blank. And I looked at that terrible corner. I go back and reflect the parades and things that took place at Paul Quinn up and down Simpson Stewart, the spirit of that neighborhood with the church and just everybody there. In order to grow, and Mayor, I appreciate your Grow South initiative. Tanel, Mayor Pro Tem, I appreciate you standing very strong and making sure that you transform a community and help the people in that area. That's one of my very favorite areas. I want you to know that. Saintsville Church, I can just go all up and down there to tell you what is there. At the end of the day, we must start somewhere. The corner that you begin, Mr. Atkins, is to be commended. In a sense of not excluding people, but to redevelop the area. And when you redevelop something, you're going to have some tug of wars. But it's going to take this community to band together to make sure that we capitalize on what this new development is going to be. I'm excited about it. Sister Haynes, I can't see you behind the podium, but I want to commend you for putting this package together. But more importantly, I want to commend you for sticking with it, because it's been up and down and up and down. Just as you see the development going on Lancaster, and you see people of color that are in charge of the development and construction on Lancaster, I'm very proud to see it happening here. It only shows that we can do things ourselves and for ourselves and within our own community. So I just want to say thank you to everybody involved. I want to Tanel, you kick this ball off. This will be one of your legacies that you will leave. And to begin to see things get torn down and to rebuild. Now, as long as y'all don't tear down Ronnie's catfish over there, because now Ronnie got the best catfish. But as long as y'all don't tear down the catfish place back there, everything is going to be fine with me. So I just want to let you all know I'm happy. This is a great day. And I think that the things that Ms. Davis has on her plate, I think that possibly you all can, those that need to be in that particular meeting, y'all meet. I'm going to suggest y'all meet at the church instead of anywhere else so you can get that deal ironed out. But do not let anything stop this opportunity for transforming and changing the community and building that community back as strong as it has always been. And I want to say thanks again to Paul Quinn for your participation with it. And it's going to benefit the entire community. So thank you all so very much. And thank you, Tanel. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway, and thank you, Ms. Davis. You know, sometime to come to a great opportunity that we do have fight in our community. But sometime after a great fight, we generally come together in peace, and we always bring a pastor in the middle of the situation to make sure we got peace. And I do think that a great suggestion, Mr. Carraway, we will meet at the church, and so we'll be blessed. If you think about this particular project, the grocery store or the retail development, we can go all the way back to the first year that I came to council, and when I did put my campaign sign on the corner of Bonneville and Simpson Stewart, which was an old Popeye chicken. And when they moved, they said they had a deed restriction, said that there could never be another chicken place there. And that was part of the deed restriction. When they did leave, we had a task force, and I was the chair of the task force. And I want to thank all the 271 members. You know, Jerry, you know, we have a great task force, Mayor. And one thing we did do, every council member at City Hall match up with another council member with another district. And luckily, I had a guy named Mitch Rizansky and Linda Coop to see how their neighborhood worked versus my neighborhood worked. And we match up for one reason and see how can we bring equal opportunity to north, east, west, and south to the city of Dallas. How do we do that? I learned that you can't do it by yourself. I learned that you have to include the people you don't like, the people you do like, or whoever, to be sure they are in the same kitchen. But we just make sure that when they throw their ingredient in the pots, we know what they're throwing in. We're not Kentucky Fried Chicken, that's a secret recipe, you know. But if you look at this, that Michael Sorrell was the chair of that region, and Gail Terrell was the vice chair. And during that 2.5-year volunteer, 2.5 years, they met 2.5 years, And they came out and on prize and said the Southeast documentation said the number one thing they need is a grocery store. The number one thing they need to the grocery store. And we've been trying to figure out how we fund this initiative. How do we fund it and get this done? It wasn't easy. You know, we had a big fight just trying to get a small convenience store on the corner. And we had a fight and said, will our community would be diverse? I think we are going to be a diverse community. We are because we are a diverse city. And this one gentleman came around and he put $2 million on this corner. And he fought, crime went down. He did everything in his power to maintain that corner. We did complain that there was not enough fresh vegetable or fruit, whatever, but he did do something. It was a start. But guess what? When he built that store, the competition right across the street from him started improving his store. And when that happened, the citizen there said, we demand more for our community. At that time, Paul Quinn, Carl Highland Hill, everybody went together and said, hey, you know what? We are fighting for the same thing. Even though we had certain people say we do not want progress. But this progress is still at the beginning of a new library. And colleagues, I'm telling you, this library is one of the state-of-the-art libraries you ever see. When you see this library, that a library can be a part of the community, not the library, it's the library. It's the community library. Then you look at those apartments there. Been there over 40 years. Crime effects, we did 10-7-20. We did all the things to lower crime. We're still working on that deal. Then we come to the store, the easy store, the acquisition, doing a deal, partnership with the church, with Mount Tabor, partnership with Paul Quinn College. Because if we do this opportunity, what will Paul Quinn get out of this? They will get more students coming there, better quality life, more investors going to come over there, and they see that we are not a community in disarray. We are a community who are working together to grow our tax base. We want more jobs. And you just go just a little farther south to Inland Port. You got L'Oreal, Grocery Supply. You got a parole group. You got all those new businesses coming in there. And they need to shop. They need to shop. We're talking about blight. We're not blight because we are growing. This community is going to grow because of education. And the reason why I say education, 2 years ago, we did not have Wilma Hutchins High School, Wilma Hutchins Elementary School, Kenny Carey, Kathy Gillen, and we was the 8th largest city in the United States without a major university until UNT of Dallas got there. And we talk about Mayor, education is very important, education. Without education, we're not going to have a better quality of life. It's amazing. Education, if we're going to raise just 1% of our education throughout the city, just 1%. And this is a fact. You're talking about anywhere from a $1 billion to a $3 billion economic impact to the region. And we don't understand how great education is, but we do know that because in this particular community, we got 2 new high schools, a new middle school, and a new elementary school in this community, and we outgrew the city of Dallas. So we deserve a grocery store. We deserve retail. We deserve everything that we can. And with that, and I want to thank Ms. Davis for bringing up everything we get here, and I thank the whole council, and I also got to thank the economic development. I got to thank Carl Z, Lee McKinnon, Ryan Evan, AC, but also let's thank Mayor Mike Ron for Grow South, because we are growing South, and that are the deeper part of the South. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Just two thoughts. One is some of the best people I've gotten to know are in Highland Hills and Singing Hills. These are great neighborhoods that want to grow, that want to grow the right way. So thank you for your leadership of them and that team effort. Second is we've got a lot more work to do there. This is going to be a big day. Okay? We've got to get that the blue line finished. We've got to get that development going. We've got a great library. We've got a great police department. But I feel the mojo. Okay? I feel the momentum. So it's key for us to make this grocery store a huge success. I may drive down there and do my grocery shopping down there. Because if it becomes the success I believe it can be, other investors will come down and bring more things. So that's the objective. We'll do our part. Thank you, Reverend Nash, for your leadership, your community leadership for these years. And I agree, Ms. Peaks did a great job on this. Let's get it done. Let's make it a success, and let's grow south. With that, I will take a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you.
Mike, can I say one brief thing? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Colleagues, one thing I like to thank is Dart. Dart, Sandy, you were like this, and Sheffy and Jerry. Dart is going to be 4 years ahead of schedule to build the blue line. 4 years ahead of schedule. So I don't want it to come to UNT. So it's great. You know, I know you was on that committee, Sandy, but thank you. They are moving. They are doing things different.
Take our next item. We'll go back.
We move back now to your pulled items. Agenda item number 12 is an ordinance amending Chapter 17 of the Dallas City Code to adjust various fees and charges relating to food establishment inspections and regulations. Councilmember Kingston pulled the item.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Colleagues, this is a happy story. If Chief Cato could come up, please. Chief and Jimmy, thanks for being here. If you guys could give us just a quick overview of what you're doing with this item, I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah, so every 4 years we do a cost study, basically, of our expenses. And so we went through that endeavor, and it shows that there's going to be a price reduction, a cost reduction for our stakeholders, the restaurant fixed food establishments. So basically, through this fee study, they will see a decrease in their costs.
And this is our new way of doing restaurant inspections. This is going to adjust the way we send sanitarians out to evaluate restaurants, right?
That's correct.
Colleagues, if you remember, during the downturn, we fell behind on restaurant inspections, which was in the newspaper and is a scary story because nobody wants to fall behind on health and safety. What we discovered, though, is that the falling behind on restaurant inspections correlated with no increase in foodborne illness, which tells us that we're doing inspections wrong. The staff responded to that, and this agenda item is going to rehab the way we do these inspections. It's going to be way more efficient, and it essentially winds up in a fee reduction for businesses that, you know, are trying to develop our local economy. I don't know of a better story of local government recently than this, and I'm proud of it. My motion is to approve this item, and I hope you'll join me in supporting that.
Got a motion, second. Any other discussion, Mr. Kleinman?
Thank you, Councilmember Kingston, for bringing this to our attention. I do appreciate all departments that look to provide best practices and ways to not only save us money, but of course improve the delivery of service. So this is a great story and good work, and let's just all departments keep looking for opportunities like this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, one other thing. I meant to point out, this is I think we all need to thank Mr. Allen for his leadership on audit issues like this. These kinds of efficiency things are the projects that he's been championing for years. I know that this is something that he was supportive of as well. We heard about it in budget audit and finance.
Thank you. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda items number 20 and 21 need to be considered collectively. Agenda item number 20 is authorize a personal services contract with Hector Alcald for services for legislative services regarding the Trinity River Corridor Project for the period October 1, 2013 through September 30, 2014. Agenda item number 21 is authorize a personal services contract with Paul Schlesinger for legislative services regarding the Trinity River Corridor Project for the period October 1, 2013 through September 30, 2014. Councilmember Kingston pulled the item.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. ICM Gonzalez, my question here is, we have briefed on this, and I asked specifically whether our Trinity River Corridor lobbying team, which is obviously a really important part of our lobbying package, was seeking any funds for the tollway, and they told me that they weren't and that they hadn't. And so I went back over their updates that they've given to us for the last 10 years. And while I can't find a specific instance where that appears to be untrue, what I'm concerned about is they appear to have raised $250 million from the federal government that remains undeployed, and what I think is going on is that they're waiting for somebody to revive that tollway project. And my question is, what are we doing here? Why are we spending this money to go beg for federal dollars and then sitting on it?
Most of those federal dollars have been secured for the Trinity River bridges, and those funds have been allocated and are committed. And then we have secured funds for the Dallas Floodway Extension Project. Most of those funds have been committed. I think Jill mentioned in the last briefing we do have a few million dollars that we are holding on to for the upper chain of wetlands, and I think that those funds are supposed to be committed within the next year.
Okay, well, what are we – the Floodway Extension Project has a bunch of different components. I'm not aware that those are really moving. Am I incorrect about that?
They are moving. There's components of that project that are already complete. I think the next phase of that is the upper chain of wetlands. So yes, that project is moving forward.
Okay, the second part of the question is, as we're asking the feds to fund different parts of the Trinity Floodway project, we continue to design around this toll road, which appears to me to be unfunded and unfundable. Why do we continue to do that?
Well, at this point, we're still in the environmental impact phase, and because they have not been selected, we actually are carrying alternatives with and without the parkway for both the park and the parkway. We are designing it so that the parkway could come in. So we're maintaining our flexibility. At this point, we don't see that the parkway is unfundable. In other words, NTTA could still fund it at an appropriate time. It's not right now. They have what they call their pinch point. And they, when you look at their financial forecast, it looks like there's a window of opportunity to construct another major project for them in around 2018. And so the question is, will that project be our project or would that be a different project? So that the possibility of funding the parkway is still there. And even if NTTA doesn't do it, there's the possibility of doing a CDA. So, I mean, there's still options there, and at this point we're keeping our options open.
Thank you, Ms. Jordan. To keep it on the lobbying platform, doesn't keeping our options open and keeping flexible distract from specific asks that we have to make to do the Pegasus project, to do the I-30 bridge, aren't we essentially wasting our effort by trying to keep our options open for this road where we're waiting for dollars that aren't there?
No, because we're asking for things that, for money for projects that we need today. So at this point, the ask is for money for, it's always for the Corps to complete the next project. Or in this case, it's asking Congress to protect the money that they've already given to the Corps for the upper chain. So we're not looking down the road longer term. We're looking at a pretty immediate term right at this point.
Okay. Well, thanks for the update. And colleagues, I don't know. I think our focus on the Trinity project is very blurry at this point because we continue to chase this road. I know we need these lobbying dollars. Our lobbyists are really skilled. This is no slight to them at all. They've done a great job. I just got finished reading through 10 years of reports from them, and they secured an awful lot of funding in some very bad times. So my motion is going to be to approve this agenda item. I just want us all to be reminded of what's possible in this situation.
Okay. Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston, to bring it up. You know, Jill and Brad, you know, and Von Seal is not here today. You know, I think we have a great lobbyist. And when we do go to the hilltop, and I think Dallas is probably ranking the top number one, because we had to thank Congresswoman Edwin D. Johnson and Kay Hutchinson, who came down, which both parties, and since we are nonpartisan supported cities, that they bring billions of dollars to the city of Dallas. I just want to let everyone know, you know, we kind of talk around the issue. I'm just going to get straight to the issue. You know, we did go to the voters, and the voters said, hey, if we could find the fund to build a toll road, then we're going to build one. You know, that's just my opinion. You know, someone can disagree or agree, but it's been voted by the resident. In the meantime, we'd be foolish not to sit up there and look at other options still doing this Trinity River. The Trinity project is not going to be completed in my lifetime, and I don't think anyone sitting around here they're going to be completed. Are their grandkids, are their great-grandkids? I think this is a 100-year project or maybe 200-year project. You know, I remember the time that we was going to build a canal from the Trinity River all the way to Houston. It never came up. The Trinity River used to come downtown, and we changed the river direction way it's coming into the city of Dallas. But for us to try to shortchange our lobbies and shortchange the opportunity to go get money in Washington is a bad idea. We look at the Tiger Grant, and without that Tiger Grant, I think we would not have the trolley going to Beckley. Bishop Art District, and that was $25 million. We turned around and got another couple of million dollars. We never should stop our lobbyists from giving money. You know, and that's one thing you just don't do. You know, we bank the money. I think we, the policymakers, know how to spend the money. We always going to have projects that we need money for. There's nothing wrong banking the money just in case something do happen. So, again, I'm going to support this item. Because without lobbyists, I don't think we have the money that came into the city of Dallas in the many years I've been here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to remind this council that our staff and lobbyists are executing the will of this council, and in the case of the Trinity Toll Road, executing the will of the direct will of the voters twice. So, while you may or may not like that particular project, Mr. Kingston, I mean, it has, you know, kind of beaten a dead horse on that. And so it is definitely the will of this council and has been of the voters that they move forward on securing monies for that project. And in the interim, we need to make sure that the things that we do in that corridor would accommodate that project if and when those monies are available. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman. Mr. Cadane.
I totally agree with Mr. Kleinman. This toll road has been voted on twice, been approved twice, needs to continue and go through. and there's several on the council that don't want it going through. So they're going to bring it up at every chance they can. But the toll road is very important to this city. It's very important to keep traffic moving, and we need to move forward with it. And I think you're right, Mr. Kingston, we need to get on it quickly and start moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kadane. Mr. Allen.
You know, I agree with my last three council members. At the end of the day, we live in a democracy. This has been voted on. It's our job to follow the will of the people. The majority vote has already been decided on this. We keep wanting to come back, and we use terms like chase this road. That's what our citizens told us to do. Again, it's a democracy. They voted. Now, we're going to go against what they told us to do. I'm not. So let's get this thing done, do the best you can. Jill, I appreciate your efforts. The city of Dallas, if we were to put us out there and rank us, maybe that's the approach you might want to take. Go out there and look and see how much money we've got, what this staff has done, how well they have done. Maybe that's the approach instead of wanting to bring up old stuff that's not going to work, because the citizens have already spoken. And it's our job to follow their wishes. We live in a democracy, and I'll follow them. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Ms. Gates.
I, too, agree with the comments that were made by my previous council members. I do think I understand the money. The bucket of money is not there for this toll road at this point, but it's only prudent that when we're planning that we can, you know, make that a possibility if we can secure the money and keep it as part of the plan. Again, it was voted on. It's the will of this council at this point. So thank you for keeping it under consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you for letting me go again, Mr. Mayor. I just need.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just
you want to finish up first round first?
Yeah, yeah. That's fine with me. If you don't mind, Mr. Caraway, and then Mr. Griggs, and then Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and Jerry Sheffy and Lee and Jen. We're on point. Let me say that what I'd like to see included into this deal. I was riding my bicycle this morning. And I was challenged coming across the Corinth Street Bridge, and I didn't do it. Hopefully, when we do this new stuff with this, you all will incorporate a safer way for us to go across the Corinth Street Bridge in conjunction with the tollway. Okay, I just have to say that. So you have to be on record. You have to take your shots when you can. But the voters have spoken, and we went through this a couple of times. And Mr. Kingston has the right to bring up his thoughts, but we have an obligation to the citizens of the city to move forward with the business that has been voted on twice. And we need to continue to figure out, Mr. AC, how we're going to continue, Jill, to develop in and around these new ideas as these things plan forward, okay? And I just want to say that. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Was that short enough, Mayor?
You were very succinct. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. And Jill, while we're talking Trinity here, we had the Angela Hunt, myself, and the mayor putting up money for those trails between there. How are those coming along? When are we going to break ground on those?
Actually, we've already broken ground, so the trails are really exciting. And so what's happened out there, the contractor is already working. He has finished the connection from the delineator to the Santa Fe Trestle Trail. The concrete for the connection to Eloise Lundy is going in. The concrete to connect the end of Riverfront to the Santa Fe Trestle Trail, that's almost finished. And from there, they will move up and start the trail from the Commerce to Sylvan, Sylvan back to Commerce with the dog leg down to I-30. You all approved, I think, on this agenda, on the consent agenda, we had the contract for Charles Goyer. And what that is doing is he's going to go in and look at our two low water crossings at Westmoreland and Sylvan, do a bridge inspection of them, and if we need to do any repair work to those bridges, get them in shape so that they're are available for cyclists and pedestrians. And then he's going to go ahead and design the pedestrian-only crossings of two outfall sumps so that if you are on the Oak Cliff or West Dallas side of the floodway, you would be able to stay all along the river channel where it's pretty and you don't have to go in towards the levee. Now, those two bridges we can't do until the Corps finishes the EIS, but we'll have those plans ready to go for when they do. So we are still on target to open that trail next spring. We are doing the preliminary planning for some type of big, opening festival event for the trail, for the Sylvan Bridge and the Continental Bridge. So stay tuned for those kind of plans. So we'll probably be doing a kind of big celebration of all of that in June with soft openings as everything opens up prior to that.
So we're looking at this June 2014 is going to be a big month for the city of Dallas, because that's when we're going to have the Continental Bridge will be repurposed as a pedestrian deck park. And then the trail.
And the Sylvan Bridge and the trail.
And the trail will all open in June 2014. I think that's
Sylvan.
Great.
Yeah,
and, so it'll be a great month for Dallas. And one other question, are our lakes coming on schedule? Have we run into any problems with piers on bridges? Is there anything? What should we be telling
the
public about these lakes?
The plan for the lakes is we've looked at our money, and if you remember from the 1998 bond program, what we have always said is that the construction of the bench for the parkway uses the excavated material from the lake. So the lakes helps build the parkway. And what we're looking at is using parkway money, and we're talking to NTTA to confirm their agreement with our plan, use the rest of the city's money for the parkway to excavate the lakes, put it on the bench. And Mr. Kingston had brought up, why are you planning, how are you planning this with or without the parkway? Well, the park without a parkway still has a bench. It's not at the same elevation as the parkway bench. It's a lower elevation, but it raises the side of the floodway over by the downtown levees to get it out of the 1 or 2 year floodplain. So we still need a place to put that dirt. And it's the beginning of the parkway bench. It's not the final bench.
It sounds like some things have changed. It's probably a better discussion to have, but it sounds like these lakes, some of the ideas have changed, so that's probably a better suited for committee when there's not a date. So
things have changed. We have moved from a lobbying budget to a briefing.
I guess I'm lobbying.
Okay. So I'm going to try to keep us on topic. So, folks, comments in the going forward need to be on this issue. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Mr. Kleiman raises an excellent point. What is the will of the people here? Let's talk about what they were told about this project. They were told it wouldn't involve one.
You're off subject, Mr. Kingston. I said let's come back to the focus on this lobbying effort. Okay?
Our lobbying efforts need to focus on what the will of the people is. And the will of the people was to have a privately funded tollway. They were told that the Corps of Engineers was fully behind the project. That was false. And so if I'm going to be lectured on the will of the people, let's talk about what it really is.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. Ms. Davis.
Yes. I think what I want to ask Jill, I know it's not a part of this.
Can we do it another time? We really have gotten off, and I'm not doing a very good job.
Trinity. What? It's still dealing with the Trinity River.
This is not about the Trinity River.
Well,
let me go
on and ask mine then. I want to ask about the Cedar Crest Bridge.
Ms. Davis, I'm going to instruct her not to answer.
Well, I want to ask about the Cedar Crest Bridge. I want to ask. Okay. I just want to ask about the Cedar Crest Bridge, which is part of the Trinity.
This is not a Trinity item, Mr. Kingston.
It's a part of the Trinity.
Ms. Davis.
Sir, it is a part of the Trinity.
Please ask your question.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You can ask the question.
Okay,
I'm going to ask
the question. The question that I have is about the Cedar Crest Bridge. Can you give me a small update on the Cedar Crest Bridge, please?
And she, they will do it after this meeting.
No, I'm asking now.
All right, we're going to have a recess.
Well, you can. You can have a recess.
10:39. You can get your question
answered. No, I'm not. I'm going to ask when I come back here.
We're having a recess.
Well, we can have a recess.
At 10:39, okay?
And I'll stand out there and ask, Mr. Mayor. Well, I asked the question. Now, I'm going to ask it now or later.
Services. Number two, a city contribution of Pension and Federal Insurance Contribution Act costs in the amount of $173,700. And number three, execution of the grant agreements. Total not to exceed $773,700. Councilmember Kingston pulled the item.
Thank you, Ms. Rios. Before I have Mr. Kingston speak, I want to say that this is something I need to be better at to keep us on topic. I will do that in the future, and if each of the council people can help me do that, we won't have once we get off the trail, sometimes it's hard to get back in the road, so we'll do that in the future. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. ICM Gonzalez, this is the reason I pulled this is because I was very concerned about DPD's participation in federal task forces. Obviously, public safety cooperation is something we need to be a part of, but I want to make sure, and the DPD has assured me that this is true, that policing policy in the city of Dallas is controlled by DPD. I was particularly concerned that we have ongoing task forces with some federal agencies that frankly have had a very poor record of respect for civil liberties, safety, a lot of things that DPD is really good at and has a stellar reputation on. I don't want them winding up in a situation where in order to appease or cooperate with some federal agency, they get directed in a way that they would not otherwise go. And that I got a lot of good information from our officers. The chiefs called me and gave me everything I needed to know. So my motion is going to be to approve this item, but just colleagues, going forward, when we see these federal task forces, I want to make sure that Dallas Police Department is always in control of its own officers.
The PD is there to cooperate, but not to compromise the way they work. Serve the citizens, and they will continue to do that.
So, was that a motion? A motion and a second. Any discussion on this item? Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to have the city attorney to come up, please. Ern, when can we get briefed on, how can we get briefed on the Trinity River Project, which includes the Cedar Crest Bridge?
At any time that item is posted as a briefing item, mm-hmm. Staff can give a full briefing on that item.
Okay, which committee should that go to?
That's really in the purview of the city manager.
There is a Trinity
committee. The Trinity committee.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I would like to have one of the briefings on the Cedar Crest Bridge so that I, Jill, can come here and give us an update on the Cedar Crest Bridge.
We will schedule it at the next meeting. I will, okay. On behalf of Judge Hill is not here, I will talk to her and ask her to put that on the agenda.
Right. And I don't make it to all the meetings because I have my own committee as well. So I would also like, before this board council, some type of small briefing on the Cedar Crest Bridge as we talk about the Trinity River. Can I get that done?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Any other discussion on this item? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to agenda items number 44 and 45, which need to be considered collectively. Item number 44 is authorize a five-year service contract for public awareness campaigns for water conservation and grease abatement, Burson Mars Teller LLC, most advantageous proposal for, not to exceed $6,213,000. Agenda item number 45 is authorize an amendment to the Memorandum of Understanding public awareness campaigns between the City of Dallas and the Tarrant Regional Water District for the continuation of and creative development of the water conservation public awareness campaign for the next 5 years. Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston, Ms. Davis, your light's still on if you want.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Colleagues, the reason I pulled this is a couple of reasons. First of all, this is our public awareness campaign, the Lawn Whisperer. Have you guys seen this? We've spent millions of dollars on it already. This is a proposal to spend $5 million more on it. Here's the bottom line. You conserve water by raising the price. Our commercial users continue to pay a lower price than our residents. It's not right. And we could simply increase the price for heavier users and achieve the same goal as this spending on a public awareness campaign. I have not been able to find any metric that shows the effectiveness of this campaign, and I think that I honestly think it's wrong-headed. It's just the wrong way to do conservation. Conservation has got to be the premier point at which we plan for our water future. It's going to be so much more important than building capacity. But this is, I think, a wasteful way to do it. The second thing that I note about this agenda item is that I believe we didn't go with the low bidder, and I think we went with an out-of-town high bidder. So my motion, colleagues, is going to be to send this back to committee. I don't know where you want this to go, ICM Gonzalez. I think budget audit and finance is probably appropriate if Mr. Allen will have it. I just think we need to take a harder look at this and really think through what we're doing as we try to conserve our water resources.
Second. We've got a motion and a second to defer. I think that's what your motion is, right?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Sorry, I wasn't clear.
And it would go to Mr. Carraway's quality of life and environment.
Whichever one is final.
That's where it would go. Mr. Carraway.
I just wanted to ask one thing. Joey and Forrest, did someone come up? Jody, yeah, here comes the Lady of Water, the Queen of Water. I'm hearing what Mr. Kingston is saying in his motion, and it's going to come to my committee. I just want to know a time frame. Is there a time frame on this particular item?
Yes, but I think that given a month or two wouldn't hurt bringing in a campaign forward for the kind of watering season. So we could look at the calendar and get that scheduled if that's the will of the council.
And that's fine. I just wanted to check and see if there was a time frame connected with this. Was it something we needed to do immediately today? So thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you. Mr. Cadane?
One more question,
yes,
and
sir.
I believe he answered it. Deferring this does not affect the contract in any way.
It just delays the contract.
I mean,
but no.
They're not going to go away. Is that right?
I wouldn't expect them to, no.
If we defer it, they could say, oh, fine, we're out of here.
Yeah, well, technically they could, but I don't expect that.
So you don't think it's going to hurt to defer it?
No, I mean, deferring this item and going to committee, I do not think hurts the contract or the proposal or moving forward.
Is there a particular reason why you chose this company?
Through a process, there was an RFP process where it was not a low bid, but a best value bid. So this company was chosen on those criteria, plan, performance, history, so forth. So that's why they were chosen.
So what will we do by deferring it and bringing it back?
We would give the committee and the council as they saw fit to review the process, what we do, the metrics that we have associated with this program, the history of it, why it's important, and philosophy of moving it forward. That would sound like the briefing, I think.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to ask Mr. Carraway if, when we get this briefed, we brief this contract as well as Mr. Kingston's other point about commercial users having a lower rate. Would we be hearing both of those issues?
Yes, okay, we'll do that.
Good, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, please, Jody.
I don't expect to have as detailed. I can provide information, but as far as the specific about the rate structure, that might take a different briefing.
Why? Because it's so much information, or?
Well, because from what I hear from Mr. Kingston, what's my charge? Mr. Gonzalez, you want to help me?
Yeah, I guess we have visited this topic in the past. It's very involved in terms of the overall rate structure. It's not just a matter of adjusting one particular class. It has to do with the impact on the other classes as well as the review from other entities, et cetera. I think what Jody is saying is that getting out there with just the topic is a much more involved conversation, not one that we wouldn't have, but one that she's not wanting necessarily to tie with this particular action here.
Okay, so what's the proper venue for that, to have that topic come back to Quality of Life Committee in a different briefing, or how does that, you're just saying maybe
right.
that by
if
itself
could,
is a big enough topic?
Right. If we could bifurcate it, we could separate it so that you're dealing with the rate issue as a separate topic, we'd certainly be able to bring it to a committee and have a more thorough discussion about it.
Well, my request would be then, if you think it's more appropriate to do it separately, that, Mr. Carraway, that we have both those briefings at some time on the Quality of Life Committee.
So let's just put them all on one meeting.
She's saying it's too much for
it's
one.
Too much.
It's too much for one.
How long would it take you, Jerry?
May I?
Please.
What I would propose to do for the next available committee meeting,
okay.
or then as soon as I can get the briefing put together for the this related to this contract, to outline that, and then in that same briefing saying, here are the things we're going to look at when we come back the next month or the next month, whenever that is, and if you have other feedback for me to include in that briefing, then I'll include that for a briefing maybe in 60 days or 90 days on the rate.
Well,
that's
fine, except let's not make it too long
right,
in the future.
Right.
Let's, you know, 90
right.
days is 3 months, so we're getting kind of out there. Okay, that would be my request, though, and I would like to hear both of those topics. And
okay.
we know we have to do the contract first, but I would like us to have a
yes.
committee briefing, please, Mr. Carraway, on this also.
We will do that.
Thank you.
And you and I will get together, and we'll team it up and see how it best works.
Thank
okay.
you.
All right.
Mr. Allen.
Jody, what's your total revenues?
About $590 million-ish.
That's total. A lot of money, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
That's a lot of money. This is a big issue. Mayor, this is a big issue we're talking about. $500 million of overall revenues for the city, even though it's a separate entity, I understand that. I don't care if it takes, you know, 3 months or 6 months. I think it's somewhat shallow to say you got to speed something up that you've done for a very long length of time. You've thought it through. We want to see how your thought process is, particularly when we're dealing with this much money for the city of Dallas. So that, to me, and I really think it's more of a budget financing audit. I'll go with whatever direction Mr. Gonzalez wants to go. But when it comes to this aspect of it, I want you to really give us some thought and show it and educate us, because that's, you know, this is hopefully you only have to do it every 6 years, 8 years, so it's a lot of money. As far as the conservation goes, did I read somewhere in the neighborhood y'all estimate around 165 billion gallons have been conserved somewhere in that neighborhood?
Yes, sir. I think the latest number is closer to 200
About billion gallons based on y'all's efforts and everybody's overall efforts.
About 42 million gallons a day,
yeah.
give or take.
How many billions of gallons of water do the citizens use? We put out and clean and put out every year?
The system production for the last fiscal year was about 142 billion gallons of water.
So we've saved over a year's supply of water?
About a third of a year's supply.
How many?
About a third of a year on an annual basis.
on an annual basis, but the $160 billion, where I'm going with that $165-200 billion exceeds what we do in a yearly basis.
That's correct, yes, sir.
So that'll be good information for us to understand and get our heads around those results. I look forward to that briefing. I'm not in quality of life, but that would be probably
Mr. Allen, what I'd suggest is we'll bifurcate it as well and put it through your committee as well, because this needs to, we got to make sure we're in the right place financially.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Davis.
Let me, Jody, ask a question. Ms. Kadane just asked a question about separating these in two different committees, and if one is going to take about 90 days or the other one, will it hurt the contracting process of that person?
What I think I'm hearing is that I plan on coordinating with the manager's office, bringing the contract issue briefing to Quality of Life PDQ. So I don't know when the next committee meeting is, but that would be our first goal. And then my second goal, in a pretty expeditious but reasonable time, to bring back the discussion on the rate to either Quality of Life and or Finance and Audit. And so with that timing, I don't believe that impacts this contract from a vendor perspective.
Now, what is the contract time period for this year or 2014?
This contract would address a campaign for the 2013-2014 year, which is the year we're in now.
Is it October? Got 2 more months now, November and December.
Well, the process of the campaign is to develop a creative and a plan about what's going to be messaged for the spring.
Okay,
it might crunch the schedule a little bit, but I think we can manage it.
Okay then. Thank you.
Assuming the council adopts it.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I understand that thought process, but I think to Mr. Kingston's point is there a way not to spend this money and be able to conserve water differently? And so separating the briefings or separating them from committees might not get us to that point. I don't know. I'll defer this to Mr. Gonzalez if there's a way. I agree with Mr. Kingston that conservation, and I know it's your thought process too, it's the number one way that we can conserve water. So, but is it through a PR effort or is it raising rates, I think is what he was saying. So I think we don't want to delay the two briefings from.
Well, if I might interject that, I'm not sure that we're going to be in a either-or kind of situation. It's probably going to be really an effort on all fronts about getting over the message to all of our users that they're needing to conserve in a number of different ways. And there's a lot of programs that we've instituted that help encourage that. And those behaviors are actually producing a result that we are very much now seeing in terms of less per capita use. Now, it's also part of a strategy, I agree, that pricing signals can be given as well. And we have had in the past discussions about just doing that. And so, I think it's, while we're talking about separate issues, I don't know that it's an either or. It's about how we blend.
Okay.
And Mr. Gonzalez, if I might remind the council, council adopted a 2010 strategic plan for water conservation, and as part of that plan was an enhanced public outreach and communication program. And so we're coming up on the end of that five-year period, and so part of what we would be looking at bringing to committees and to the council is an update to that plan. So I think that as Mr. Gonzalez said, there's no magic dust, no magic wand for one or other. It's really a quilted effort, pricing, information, training, behavior change, all those types of things. And so that's also going to be coming later this year as a strategic plan update.
Okay, that sounds good. But if you just could include like the metrics, how effective you feel like this program is for water conservation, and then I'd be happy with Mr. Allen to take it up in budget and finance and audit if we want to look at the rate structure as the vice chair of that committee and look to see if those are ways, in the same ways, if it's effective, the metrics, if that can be an effective way to conserve. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just one thought before we leave this subject. I met with the chair of the Texas Water Board yesterday. Have been active on the Prop 6 that I'm not supposed to advocate from this place on, so I won't do that, okay? But I've been in Austin, met with Bob Strauss, Speaker Strauss, and I just want to tell you that you've done a great job. I'm going to tell you, the reputation that we have in the state on the subject of conservation is remarkable. We are leading this state in so many ways. And I concur with Mr. Kingston that it is critical that we continue to do that in the future. But I just want to say that I wish the whole state had been taking the same approach that we had been taking over these years, because it's neat to be mayor of a city that is very progressive on this and has been attacking this right to the citizens and asking them to change their behavior. So with that, I will. We've got a motion and a second. And all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to addendum item number 6. Authorize contracts with cultural organizations for the provision of services to the city through the Cultural Services Contract Program. Councilmember Kingston pulled the item.
Mr. Mayor.
I'm sorry.
Did we vote on 44, 45 also?
44, 45 were collected.
They were 44 together. And 45 were together.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Addendum item 6. Councilmember Kingston.
Did you read it?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, colleagues, you've all been very patient with my need to talk about some of these issues today, and I really appreciate it. It means a great deal to me. This is more good news. I pulled it merely to talk about it. You all have been very supportive of arts funding. Those of you who I really think that every member of this council is fully committed to improving the arts in Dallas. We've had this at Arts, Culture, and Libraries. The arts groups that put on our programming are very pleased with us right now. We've been getting lots of notes of thanks, and that's really, I have to thank you. If I'm going to advocate for this, and the other members of my committee are going to advocate for this, your support means a heck of a lot. I want to just tell you that one of the things we're doing with regard to these contracts, and Ms. Munoz-Blanco has dug in on this, as has Joey, is we're going to give you all, through our committee, a very clear picture of where we're spending our money throughout the arts, throughout Dallas, facilities programming, the whole nine yards. I think that's going to give this council the opportunity to really understand where we're spending that money and what the economic impact of it is. And I look forward to bringing that information to you and seeking your future support on that stuff. The one thing that I wanted to mention about our cultural contracts is the one complaint we get from small arts groups is that the process isn't fully transparent or fair. Now, when you don't get all the funding you want, you always say it's not fair, so I'm not scolding us. I just want to make sure that we are fully supporting our Cultural Affairs Commission. That committee really is the subject matter experts on this stuff. And when we are even-handed with the way we distribute funding, then we are perceived as being fair and being open and being transparent. So anyway, with that, I just want to I move to approve this item, Mr. Mayor. And I thank you all for your patience today.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Ms. Alonzo.
Well, I was going to second it, Mayor, but and also that's okay. As the vice chair of the chairman over here of this great committee, and kudos to what he was indicating earlier, but also making sure that we do give thanks to our Cultural Affairs Commission, which we all have a member at, and as well as the staff. They were very patient and also very explicit on everything that they put together. So thank you very much. I wanted to make sure we said that.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. Hearing no other discussion, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to agenda item number 47, which is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. You do have several individual nominees as well as full council nominees. You also have three vice chair nominees, two of which are to the Municipal Library Board. Those two appointments will be considered by ballot vote, so they will be considered individually. So for your first portion for approval, to the Automatic Red Light Enforcement Commission, you have Jesus A. Rodriguez, nominated by Councilmember Callahan. To the Cultural Affairs Commission, you have Giovanni Valderas, nominated by Mayor Rawlings, who has professional visual arts artist experience. To the Community Development Commission, Casey E. Thomas is renominated by Councilmember Hill. Dallas Citizens Police Review Board, Dwight F. Williams is renominated by Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. To the Civil Service Board adjunct members, you have Sharon L. Vansell, who's renominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, and Calvin Robinson, who is renominated by Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. To the Landmark Commission, you have Ted Campbell, renominated by Councilmember Allen, who has historian experience. Municipal Library Board, you have Carolyn Arnold, who is nominated by Councilmember Carraway. To the Permit License Appeal Board, you have Ricardo Medrano, renominated by Councilmember Hill. To District 12, Richard T. Richard, is nominated by Councilmember Grayson. To the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Board, Jesse Tafala Jr. is renominated by Councilmember Callahan and has nonprofit management experience. Patricia Stevens is nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo and also has nonprofit management experience. Pat Harrington is renominated by Mayor Pro Tem Atkins and has community development experience. Your full council nominees are to the Board of Adjustment alternate members. James L. Gaspard is renominated by Councilmember Cadane. To the Civil Service Board, Victoria Neve is nominated by Councilmember Allen. Albert T. Turner is renominated by Councilmember Cadane. To the Cypress Waters Municipal Management District, you have Lucilio Pena, is renominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo and has interest in the property district qualification. To the Reinvestment Zone 8 Board Design District, all who have filled the registered voter category are Jamie Slagle, who is nominated by Deputy Mayor Tem Alonzo, and Larry R. Bennett, who is nominated also by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo. To the Reinvestment Zone 14 Board's Coleman Corridor, you have John P. Dean is renominated by Councilmember Allen. Mr. Dean also fills the registered voter category. For Vice Chair to the Park and Recreation Board, you have Gail Terrell, who is being renominated by Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Those are your nominees on the first portion of this item, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We got a motion and a second. Discussion, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you. Ms. Rios?
Yes.
What? Oh, Mr. Medrano, excuse me. Okay. Thank you. Please note Mr. Medrano stepped out of the room.
Ms.
Grayson.
Rios, on the Permit and License Appeal Board, I thought I heard you say that my nominee's name was Richard T. Richard, and it's Robert.
It's Robert.
It's Robert T. Richard. Richard. I just wanted to correct that for the record.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other corrections, discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Staff will now, they are going to be distributing a ballot. The two nominees for vice chair to the Municipal Library Board are Marisa R. Anchia, who is nominated by Councilmember Medrano, who has returned to the council chambers. There is no conflict. And Lucy J. Livingston, who has been nominated by Councilmember Hill. Again, you're going to be provided a ballot. As soon as you've cast your vote, you select one individual. If you'll pick up the ballot, staff will collect it. We'll tabulate the results and during the time that we're considering other agenda items. Whenever the votes have been tabulated, I will go ahead and announce that at the appropriate time. We do want to show that Councilmember Callahan is absent when this ballot is being cast, as well as Councilmember Hill.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We're going to proceed now to agenda item number 48, the authorized payment of annual membership fees and continuation of arrangements for providing specialized municipal-related services to the Airports Council International North America at a total of $55,000, to the Dallas Regional Mobility Coalition at $50,000, Gartner, Inc., IT Executives and Leaders at $90,681, North Central Texas Council of Governments at $120,742, to the North Texas Commission at $91,020, the Steering Committee of Cities Served by Encore at $131,635, to the Texas Coalition of Cities for Utility Issues at $52,654, to the Texas Municipal League at $53,083, to the Water Environment Research Foundation at $83,374, and Water Research Foundation at $246,959, for the total not to exceed $975,148.
We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 49 is authorize a moving and related expenses non-residential payment for Tip Top Big Dog Inc., DBA Tinny Bar, who has been displaced as a direct result of real property acquisition of the property at 2224 Elm Street, to be used in conjunction with the Central Expressway from Commerce to Live Oak Realignment Project.
We have a motion to approve. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Kingston, you were kind enough to hold this for us last time. We've done some additional research. We were able to find about $20,000 that were not eligible expenses that we've removed from this, so thank you for your patience with that.
Thank you very much. Move approval.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda items number 50 and 51 need to be considered collectively and will require 2 seconds. Number 50 is authorize a development agreement with Digit Development LLC to dedicate future Cedars TIF district revenues in an amount not to exceed $490,700 for eligible project costs related to infrastructure, streetscaping, and landscaping improvements located at number 1, 1509, 1513, 1517, 1521, and 1527 Hickory Street. Number 2, 1814, 1818, and 1820 Browder Street. Number 3, the adjoining alley between Browder Street and Irvay Street. Number 4, along Hickory Street beyond the project site. And number 5, a second alley between Beaumont Street and Hickory Street in Tax Increment Finance and Reinvestment Zone Number 4, Cedars TIF District. Agenda item number 51 is a resolution declaring the intent of Tax Increment Finance and Reinvestment Zone Number 4, Cedars TIF District, to reimburse Digit Development LLC up to $490,700 for certain TIF-eligible project costs related to infrastructure, streetscaping, and landscaping improvements located at 1509, 1513, 1517, 1521, and 1527 Hickory Street. Number 2, 1814, 1818, and 1820 Browder Street. Number 3, the adjoining alley between Browder Street and Irvay Street. Number 4, along Hickory Street beyond the project site. And number 5, a second alley between Beaumont Street and Hickory Street in the Cedars TIF District. Again, these items require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Medrano.
Yeah, I move to approve item 50 and 51.
We had a motion and a second in 2 seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Agenda item number 53 is authorize a Chapter 380 forgivable loan in the amount of $150,000 to GBD BDM LLC for gap financing for construction costs related to expanding the offices of Dental Delete, the dental practice of Belinda D. Marsaw, DDS, to 8222 Bruton Road, Dallas, Texas, in the Pleasant Grove area. This item just required 2 seconds.
We have a motion's second. Do we have another second?
Yes,
okay.
I got it.
All right, Mr. Kleinman.
Yeah, I would just like a better understanding of why we're giving such a direct grant to such a specific business.
Mr. Kleinman, Lee McKinn of Carl Z, Mr. Kleinman, this came through economic development. I think you're on that committee. And are you still on that committee?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. Do you do your homework, sir? you know, I'm very particular. You know, on our committee, we try to make sure we review everything of what we bring to council. Mr. Carl Z, would you give him an explanation? Sure, Lee McKinney?
Be reminded.
Right.
Thank you. Please remind Mr. Kleinman.
Okay. Sir, may I ask you what the question was again?
Just why are we making such a specific grant to such a specific business? Why this specific business?
Okay. One of the things we try to do in economic development is to incent development and expansion in many areas within the city. In Southern Dallas in particular, we try to do that. This particular private part of the public-private partnership relationship is a business in Pleasant Grove that will be bringing 20 jobs to the area. We'll then be converting what is now a vacant lot into a 10,000 square foot facility, and we believe the whole project is $1.5 million. The dentist has $460,000. SBA is putting in $900,000. She has a gap of $150,000, and we believe that the project will bring benefit to the community that's worth our $150,000 support.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We have a motion and a second. Ms. Davis.
Yes. Lee, can you send the pie again? Who's bringing in what now?
Yes. The project is about $1.5 million. SBA 504 has approved a loan already for $900,000. Dr. Marsau has $460,000 in the project.
Of his own money?
It's a lady, yes.
It's a lady.
Of her own money.
Okay.
That is correct. And she's been in Pleasant Grove since 1984. The dental practice has been there that long. And she is expanding to start to make her own teeth and dental project.
How much are we putting in?
$150,000.
And then the other $405,000. What's the full total cost of the project?
About $1.5 million. She brought a budget in, and the estimate of cost was $1.5 million, $486,000.
Okay.
Something.
So she's putting in how much of her own money?
About $460,000.
And then the rest of it's coming strictly from the city?
No. SBA is putting in $900,000.
Okay.
And then the city is putting in the gap.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Answer all the questions? Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you. You know, I want to back up just for a second on items 50 and 51. It was so long that I think we missed what we just did there. Mr. Medrano is being very modest, and thank you, Ms. Davis, to get this to the housing world, too, that we just created our first big apartment and real estate complex in the Cedars. And as we start to grow south of downtown, this is the sort of project that needs to be had. So thank you, Council, for continuing to support, I think, a great area of town. We had a wonderful festival on Saturday night with Erica Badu and on Lamar Street. It was there were thousands and thousands of people down there, and this is the sort of project that I think is very strategic for the city. And so thank you, Mr. Medrano, for your leadership. Next item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I did get the ballot results for the vice chair to the Municipal Library Board, and Marisa Anchia received all votes cast, so she is appointed as vice chair. Agenda item number 54 is authorized.
Ms. Alonzo had a question.
It's because it's by ballot. It's the actual votes, the majority. It's by acclamation. Agenda item number 54 is authorize a housing development loan in the amount of $250,000 to Fowler Christian Apartments, the
3, Inc., as gap financing for the development of 36 units of affordable housing to be located in the 5800 block of Eastside Avenue for seniors. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. We got a motion in 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 55 is authorize an amendment to resolution number 13-0458 to support an application for 4% low-income housing tax credits to the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs for the proposed project to be located at 4623 South Lancaster Road for a multifamily residential development for low-income families. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion.
2 seconds. Thank you.
Got a motion, 2 seconds. Any discussion? Ms. Davis.
Yes. Mr. Caraway. This is the one that we've been talking about. Am I right?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask Bernie one question? Is Bernie, and I'm going to be moving, supporting Mr. Caraway on this particular motion. Bernie, one of the questions that we asked in the housing committee meeting on this particular agenda item here, they're going to go for the 4%, and they have until December to complete the paperwork. If they're not able to get it in by December, the question we ask, would they come back asking for 9%?
And I can confirm that the paperwork has been received by TDHCA, so they actually have already submitted the paperwork.
Okay then. So if they are awarded, we move forward with the project.
4%. Mm-hmm.
If they are not awarded, then what happens?
We would work with the developer at that point to see what else could be put together for that site.
But not coming back for a 9%, because once again,
correct. The developer has been through the 9% round several times,
mm-hmm.
And I think is anxious to look at other opportunities if this 4% does not work out.
Okay, that's all. I just want to make sure, Mr. Caraway, that we're clear of that. We talked about it in the housing committee. We feel that because they, and it's even in my own district, when they've gone so many times and have not been able to get those type of tax credits that is needed, then let's look at something else. So I'm hoping that this work, Mr. Caraway, for you and your district, and we can move forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you. Bernie, and to follow up with Ms. Davis, so this will not interfere with any other projects. We won't find ourselves competing with these credits.
The 4% tax credits are non-competitive.
Okay.
And so it does not compete against any 9% that would be coming up.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Let's.
You need a vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
That's your last individual item, Mr. Mayor.
Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Medrano.
Before we go to break, I'd like to thank everyone for their support of Marissa Anchia as Vice Chair of the Municipal Library Board. One of the things that she's accomplished, so I would like to share, is because the fair just ended. I don't know if you guys walked by the Mother Goose storytelling tent that's right across from the Hans Mueller by the Chevrolet stage. It's a Mother Goose interactive storytelling, and the kids even get to take a book home. But that's one of the things that she was able to provide funding for 3 years. So thank you.
That's great. Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
And also, thank you for bringing up, Alan. You know, when we did the groundbreaking at Highland Hills Library, the Mother Goose came there and she gave free books there, and also it was a good and additional. It was a great deal. Thank you.
Thank you. We are now going to go into executive session, and I think we have a motion on the floor. Mr. Griggs.
No, I was just going to ask that we have a motion to go into executive session and a record vote. I'm invoking Robert's Rules of Order, 11th edition.
And, it, you know, since we don't have it, would you explain that to everybody?
A motion to go into executive session is a question of privilege and therefore is subject to a majority vote by the Dallas City Council. So in this instance, rather than acquiesce by standing up and walking out, which we often do, I'm asking for a vote and a record vote if a motion so is made.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor.
No motion.
No, thank you. We are, Mr. Griggs is asking for a vote of the council to endorse us going into executive session on, just read this? Okay, thank you. No. Okay.
I'll clarify my request. I'm asking that in this instance if we do go into this.
I know your question. I don't know what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
So hold on here.
I can't help you with that.
All right. So can I ask that motion, do you want to do that for both the items? We have Virginia Bradford et al. V. City of Dallas. And we also have an investigation and details surrounding addendum item number 5.
The addendum item number 5. Is
okay.
Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you. So we need to take a vote.
So there needs to be a motion.
No, there is no motion. He's just evoking the rules.
Right. And so we need, it requires a motion.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So we now, do we have a motion, okay, since you've evoked it, to go into executive session? That's what you're asking. So, do we have a motion?
I so move.
That's you so move? Do we have a second?
I have a second.
Second. So we have a motion and a second to go into executive session on to receive and under sections 551071 and 551074 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, to receive advice from and consult with William T. Hill, Jr., attorney at law, regarding his investigation, the details surrounding addendum number 5 in the August 28, 2013, Dallas City Council. We got that. Discussion. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. On this, although portions may be subject to executive session, I do not believe this whole discussion will be subject to executive session, and if something does come up, then we can go into executive session, because I think our goal here is that we hope that all the actions of the Dallas City Council are so clear and intelligible that every citizen of the city of Dallas is able to make an informed decision and completely understand what we're doing. In this case, I would ask that we start out in open session, and if an issue does come up that requires us under Rule 71 or Rule 74 under the exceptions to the Texas Open Meetings Act, then we can go in there. Thank you, Mayor.
So just being clear, you're asking the council vote against the motion and the second.
That's correct. I'm asking for a record vote, and I will also be opposing this because I believe most of this can be done in open session and should be.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to echo Mr. Griggs' comments and point out that the issue on which we're receiving the report from Mr. Hill arose out of a lack of transparency. And, colleagues, if you vote on the record to go into executive session to receive this report, I believe you will also be voting against transparency. I don't think this is going to look good. People want to know what we have to discuss about this. There is no legal advice that we are seeking from Mr. Hill. The fact that he is a lawyer is a mere fortuity. We could have hired anybody. This council never asked him for any legal advice. There also is no personnel issue. No personnel issue has been listed on the agenda, and therefore we can take no action on a personnel issue. It is entirely inappropriate to use either of those supposed exceptions to the Open Meetings Act to put this report behind closed doors. I'll be opposing this motion.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. Ms. Alonzo.
Mr. Mayor, if I may ask the attorney, I just wanted to clarify something because there's another item for executive session. Are we only going to discuss what was discussed here?
Yeah, there was. He did not evoke that rule
on the Virginia Bradford et al., the City Dow. So we will be going executive session on that. It's only on the second item.
So we'll be going on that at a later time?
No, we'll be doing that. If you vote yes, okay, we will be going in executive session on that at the same time. Or not executive session. We would be doing that in open session.
Well, go ahead. Please, Mr.
To clarify what the mayor said, I believe it's the will of the assembly to go into executive session on the Bradford matter by acquiescence. Okay. I believe that's and so unless somebody wants to correct me on that. So the motion is only with respect to the Hill investigation, but the Bradford matter will be in executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for that clarification.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Let me say this. I would like, you know, I don't know enough about the first item of this company that we're talking about, item Hill investigation. Is this
the Uber discussion?
Okay,
yeah.
With the black cars. Okay, I would say that we probably would need to go. I would think into executive session if I had some personal questions that I don't really want to put out here. That we might can ask in executive session, and I don't have no dog in this because I don't know anything about it. First, I've heard of this company. Just in case we have some questions that we really that might need to go into executive session if we have questions for the attorneys to ask, and that would be my only concern is, you know, Scott and Mr. Kingston is if in case we have some questions that. I think we just need to ask the attorneys, and because we have gone into executive session on other issues like this before, I just think that it kind of stands them out from the rest that we've done. That's the only thing I'm saying. It kind of stands them out by themselves when we've done other executive session on other issues like gas drilling, you know what I'm saying? Like some other things that we've had. And we went into executive sessions and we still came out with a healthy conversation. That's the only thing I'm saying. Let's
Thank
go.
You.
And because I have one or two questions that I want to ask, but I don't want to ask it out here.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Let me clarify for everybody in case there's anybody's wondering. We will not be discussing policy or how we are going to proceed on ordinances in regards to the limousine transportation for hire. This is only in regards to the performance of our staff, what they did right in this manner and what they did wrong. Okay, so it's a performance of staff. Mr. Medrano.
So we're going back there. We go back there, we're going to discuss the Uber, the report. Is that what I'm
saying? The report is in regards to the staff.
And so once if we go back there or in here, wherever we're doing it, is the report going to be released to the public?
It is it's going to be released immediately after we're done with the executive session.
Okay. And can you bring our city attorney? Is there any advice that he has for us on either to stay out here or go in there for a certain?
Mr. Ernst?
Do you have advice for the council? What is his advice as far as going into executive session? Should we stay out here or go in there?
It's the will of the body as to whether or not. It was posted because there was a report from an attorney hired by the city. We don't know what is contained in it. There's the possibility of discussion of particular individuals, personnel, as to their performance and evaluation, and so it's been posted in that regard. It's ultimately the will of the body as to whether to do that in executive session or not. I don't have an opinion as to that.
Okay. I mean, coming from DISD, I know that every time that we were talking about personnel or someone, we did go in executive session, and our attorneys would advise us that.
Yeah.
So, you know, okay, thank you for your help.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. My question was similar to Mr. Medrano's. Is if the report... Well, no, I was actually going to ask the mayor.
Yeah.
If the report that we're going to hear in closed session is the same report that is going to be given to the public immediately afterwards, why wouldn't we just hear it now?
Well,
and then our discussion, if we feel as though we have some personnel-related questions, should properly be done in closed session.
That's why we're going to executive session.
But,
so just, let me just answer your logic. The logic is the public is going to get everything that the report has and all the backup. It's allowing each of the council people to ask personnel questions in the privacy of executive session. That's the purpose.
I guess I was just thinking we might start out with the report in open session if it's going to be exactly the same thing that the public is going to get. But that's, I just kind of wanted to know, we're not going to hear anything out of Mr. Hill's report that isn't going to be released to the public, correct?
Unless there are questions that this group asks.
Well, I understand that okay. part of it. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I had questions on the same line, and Ms. Stearns. So in your, I know it's the will of the council, but in your legal opinion, are we abiding by the statute of the open records if we have the will as a group?
The Open Meetings Act permits the body to get advice from its attorney in executive session. The Open Meetings Act also provides that personnel matters as to particular individuals can be held in executive session.
And my second point was, you know, if we're going to be release the same information. So you answered that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And while you're there, will we discuss or will a employee's name be subject to come up into this report?
I don't
know what the report is.
I did the report, so yes.
Okay, so is that not, will we not be following what we should be doing if it's personnel? I mean, you know, if we're discussing employees at all in any form or any fashion, is that considered, would that be considered personnel?
Yes.
Okay, so the answer is yes. So is that a form of the charter and our responsibility to go into executive session if indeed we're talking and a employee of the City of Dallas name is mentioned in this report, should it first at least be heard by us, the council, and then a decision be made as to how we move forward, even though the report, the written report, the way the report is already written, will be accessed out to the public. And I kind of agree with you, Scott, in one sense of the word, but I'd like to just kind of reverse it. I think it do us as the council to hear first, because we're only talking 30 minutes. That's number one. It's flip-flop. It could be 30 minutes on this side, or it could be 30 minutes on the other side. At the end of the day, the report is going to come out. I think it's, in my personal opinion, it serves us to follow our policies and procedures that if indeed it has an employee's name associated with it, that is personnel. You've answered that to say yes. So it's not a simple maybe or maybe not. Yes is a yes, and policy is policy. Am I not right?
Yes, you're right.
And so the policy so dictates that we go into executive session, especially if we're talking about people that are on the city's payroll with taxpayers' dollars. Is that not correct?
Ultimately, it's a decision of the assembly, of
okay.
the body.
So my position is that this is personnel. I think first, I would love to hear it, so that I could, you know, ask and say some things that might not be said out here. But then publicly, maybe the same report should come back out here and be given or in writing or whatever, but not our discussion. I think our discussion is something that's of executive conversation, but the report and the meat of the report is what the public is going to get. So Mayor, I think we should keep it from the standpoint of personnel first, go back and hear what's happening, come back out and deal with it for the public and keep it transparent.
That's what the motion is on the floor. Mr. Medrano.
No. Well, are we
let me do you round two. Okay. You're up first. Mr. Allen.
I'll be supportive of going into executive session. And I just want the citizens to understand and to know that we hear about transparency here at City Hall. And trust me, the City Hall is about as transparent as you're going to get. Not only do we have the open records request, we have even in executive session, there's not one of us sitting around this horseshoe that believes that everything will stay in executive session. We understand that there will be other folks that will leak it out to the press. So, and then right after the executive session is over with you, the conversation will be ultimately known and the document will be given. And then after that, we will be going to committees and it'll be again full disclosure about what's been ultimately talked about and about Uber itself. So it'll be full disclosure. Anyone that thinks that it's something that's trying to be hidden is basically just trying to manipulate and pay politics. I don't agree with that. I think it's a bunch of bull. So I will be supporting Mayor going into executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mr. Atkins hasn't spoken, so.
Ms. Davis spoke yet?
No, yes, Mr. No, Davis has spoken.
Thank you, Jerry. You know, I kind of go in the same line that, you know, sometimes, you know, when you do mention people's name in the public and legally you go in executive session about personnel, and I do think this is a personnel issue, and I think that we should be the first one to be heard. Since I've been here for the last 7 years, you know, there have been similar cases that we have when executive session, so I would be supporting going to executive session.
Thank you. Mr. Medrano.
Yeah. Well, I'm hearing that the concern is really our questions on the report, so why don't we just hear the briefing out here, and then we all know that when we have questions, just go to the back. It's just that way everybody gets to hear it at the same time. I don't see a problem with that.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we go into executive session, and the reason is that when we did gas drilling, we went into executive session, we heard the concern. Then when we dealt with the personnel issue, we talked about it in executive session. Then our then city manager came out. We set up a hearing where she talked about and gave her reasons on why she did what she did, then we was able to ask questions and hear her out. So I think that's the same thing that we need to follow. We did it with the gas drilling, I remember.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Griggs.
2 points. I certainly think as a government we should be open, and this is an issue of transparency, and that the report and Mr. Hill's discussion, which relates to the report that will become public, should be held out here. If there are other questions that come up concerning legal advice, then you can go into executive session. Number two, and I'd ask Warren to come up. And what's different about this personnel exception, colleagues, from all others we've had, is we haven't noticed the individual by office or name. Typically, when we do a performance review or have some other issue of personnel, we publicly notice that individual by office or by name. We've done this before when we did Mary Soom's review. We've done it when we hired our Secretary Rosa Rios. We've done this when we reviewed Craig Kenton. We always provide notice because under the Texas Open Meetings Act, Section 551.074, there's a section in it that the individual that's going to be discussed has the right to waive us going to executive if they want the discussion about them to be public. That is a right that's given to every employee in this city of Dallas. So this convoluted method of calling this a personnel discussion, not listing the individuals, we're actually taking away a right of our employees. So I'd say at a minimum, if we're going to create this pretext that's a personnel issue, at a minimum, out of a courtesy to our employees, if we're going to talk about them, we should give them notice as required under the Texas Open Meetings Act. By office or by name to let them know we're going to talk about them. And that has been the practice and policy of this assembly for some time. And I hope that continues in the future. Because we are not doing that here today. There was not public notice given to the employees that we're going to talk about. And that's not right. If we are going to talk about them, notice it. Those are the rules. So then it kicks in their obligation of whether or not they're going to waive, which is the employee's right to waive and say, you need to have your discussion about me in public. And that is an absolute right of every one of our employees given under the Texas Open Meetings Act. So this methodology of calling out a personnel exception but not stating the office or the individual, we've actually taken away rights of our employees. And I hope in the future that we never do this again if we are going to pull out a personnel exception. I know the city attorney's office has the ruling is on is beyond the gray area on this. And I know best practice is to name either the office or the individual's name that we're going to be talking about. And that's the right way to do it. Not only is this city, but this country's built on notice. And that's a shame that we're going to talk about employees back there and not give them notice formally. So that's all my comments. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Mr. Atkins.
You know, Scott, something I agree on you, something I disagree. I think we can go round and round. I think there might be a personality issue. You did talk about the right. I know the city manager, we do not control all the personnel that's go under the city manager, and names might come out. But in this particular case, the public going to know what happened when we come back. I think it's fair to us as a policymaker to find out what a legal issue, because I could ask a legal question right now and say, let's go to executive session if I choose to do that. If I had to do that, there is a legal issue, in my opinion, that we have a right to go there to a closed session. But I think we should go there first, then come back to the public. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Warren, where are you, Warren? And you know, we got you another microphone right over at the table, but you're not using it, so just come on around. let me just, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm going to give this my best shot. We're talking personnel. It's very, very clear, and this is a question to you. It's very, very clear. On yesterday, a letter was made public by our interim city manager. And we're aware of that?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And our interim city manager is an employee of the city of Dallas. Is that correct?
Yes, he is.
All right. So now, with the letter that has been made public with the name of the person that has sent it out under his own signature, he's an employee.
Yes.
That makes it a personnel issue that we all know now that we're going back to begin discussion.
Yes.
That's correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So with that being said, we already know in advance that this is a personnel situation, a personnel issue that's going to be involved with that. I think it is not fair for us to invoke and go against the policies of executive session when indeed the facts are that if it is a personnel issue, it is to be discussed in executive session. We all know this going in. Let's not play games about it. We all know this going in. So let's respect the laws that we set and our policies, take this to the back, and be at least willing to show our employees that, one, we're willing to listen and go and respect the rules and policies set by the Dallas City Council and the City of Dallas first. And then from that point, maybe we may find ourselves tailoring some of our comments that we would be making in the other room. But then let's make sure that we are transparent with the citizens of the city of Dallas. The fact is, and I close, We already have a letter under the signature of one of the personnel persons involved with this, and that makes this executive session that we're calling for a personnel issue. Would you say that?
It's our belief that this is the personnel matters are to be discussed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Let's call the question.
Okay. No one wants to talk anyway, so let's just do it.
Could you explain?
Okay. All right. That's good, because I moved too quick on something last week, and we probably all should take. So the motion and the second on the floor is to go into executive session to hear the report from William Hill regarding the investigation on the addendum item number 5 on the August 28th. Okay? So you vote yes, we go into executive session. If you vote no, we do not.
You may start voting. All have voted. Voting in favor of the motion are Council Members Medrano, Davis, Carraway, Gates, Allen, Kleinman, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Member Grayson, Cadane, and Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Voting against are Council Members Kingston and Griggs. Council Member Callahan is absent when vote taken, and Council Member Hill is absent. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Before I read this, we have one other item to do, and that is we got a couple birthdays.
Yes, we do, Mayor. And we have a baby boomer that wanted this special kind of cake. I mean, with strawberries and kiwi, and he wanted it from a European bakery, and he just got all of the requests. Plus, we had to pay the extra $25 just for him to deliver it, and I had to go out there to order it. So he's our baby boomer. We want to start him off right, and that's Council Member Adam Medrano. Happy birthday, dude. Let's do one. We got another one.
I got to up him one.
Okay.
We got a fantastic cake. We got another baby boomer, and evidently they're the same birthdays. Is that correct? Same day, but mine.
They're twins.
They're gonna eat all of mine first. Wait till you see it, because mine will melt if they don't eat it. We got a great cake. We got two great guys. So let's sing happy birthday to them. Well, take a look at this. Yeah. Hey, Dwayne, yours may be prettier, but mine tastes better. Okay, let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Adam and Bill. Happy birthday to you.
Let us take 10 minutes, and then everybody get on back. I just thought we did. Sheffy did that. Yeah. Sheffy was talking about him. Yeah. Okay. You guys, neither one of them are baby boomers. You don't even know what a baby boomer is. Okay, so it is 11:55 a.m. October 23rd, 2013. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on Virginia Bradford et al. V. City of Dallas. And under Sections 551071 and 551074 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, to receive advice from and consult with William T. Hill, Jr., attorney at law, regarding his investigation of the details surrounding addendum number 5 on the August 28, 2013, Dallas City Council agenda. It will probably be 1:30 before we start. In fact, I'm just going to call that right now. 1:30. We'll pick up the afternoon agenda.
guide. Even if he thought they were correctly written, it creates the after-the-fact perception that one private company was getting too much influence at City Hall. And it is the city attorney's office job to determine how to best draft these new ordinances. Three, the decision of Mr. Gonzalez to place the new ordinance on the council agenda without any private or public hearing is an overreach of the city manager's job. Furthermore, to put it on the council agenda as a consent item, assuming the city council might not want to discuss or debate, exacerbates that initial bad decision. Now, in regards to the use of DPD staff, vice squad staff, I understand that city staff normally works closely with our police department when they believe any citizen or business is not obeying the law. DPD agrees to help with appropriate resources as they deem at that time. The situation was not out of the norm. But it is important to note that Chief Brown did express his opinion to the city attorney's office and Mr. Gonzalez that this would not be the most effective way in dealing with this issue. It's important to note that while city staff should be held accountable for their action, in this case, it was accelerated by the judgment of the city attorney's office that Uber was acting illegally. Those attorneys have a clear responsibility in this matter because of this judgment. It was unclear to me if legally the current ordinances stood by themselves, or were they not sufficient and needed to be changed? This ambivalence by the city attorney's office is at the crux of the problem. Now, I earnestly believe that staff working on this issue was working under good intentions to enforce the ordinance of the city council. The mistake was they never stopped and asked for buy-in or advice from the council on a subject that was a difficult issue in an industry that is undergoing a major transformation. The judgment of the interim city manager to surface this issue to city council as a consent agenda item ready to be voted on without briefing is highly disappointing to me, and I've told them such. The report is very detailed with all the interviews that took place and the actions. It has also all the emails and letter traffics and backups. Let me add a couple of other things. First, again, the purpose of this investigation was not to opine on the veracity of Uber's business or the claims of yellow cabs that they were acting illegally. We will do that in Transportation Committee, and we will put together a strategy and the ordinances appropriate going through the normal chain of City Council business. It is important to say that our responsibility as elected officials are to the citizens of Dallas. We must keep them safe, and we must make sure that they get the best quality of life here in Dallas so they don't want to move other places. We want them to have a great life and be safe. Things are changing. We're going to understand those things, and we're going to make the right decisions. I will also add that while this process has taken a tremendous amount of time, I think it's a healthy process for us as a council, and the nature of the discussion in executive session, while it spent 100% of the time focusing on individuals, there was a theme that as a council we need to do a better job of clarifying roles and responsibilities and process, that we are putting the mirror back on ourselves as well, so we can hold our city staff and our city attorneys accountable. I will not be answering questions in regards to my opinion on how we're going to move forward. We love new business in Dallas, okay? And we want to attract as many new business and as different types of business. But we all live in the rule of law, and we're going to do this in a lawful manner. Technology is an important industry in Dallas with a leading technology employer in the state of Texas. And we're going to continue that trend. But with that, I will take questions on this investigation. And the quality of life is high. It was clear in this report that city staff and city attorneys were acting under the assumption that Uber was acting illegally. And when people act illegally, there are bad things and repercussions that come from that. Safety, obviously, is one of them. We that came up very briefly in our group, and I quickly cut it off because I want to do that in public, in a public debate with public briefing. And how private citizens, private businesses interact with the city staff, the council members, is extremely important. We want to stay in touch with our businesses. We want to stay in touch with our employees. We've got to make sure that it's done in the transparent fashion as possible. With that, thank you all. Thank you. All right, we have 9 people in the council chambers, so I said to you 3:15, it's 3:17, so, you know, I know, I'll hurry. Okay. So let us begin. Excuse me, I got to read this. It is 3:17 p.m., October 23rd, 2013. The City Council will now go back into open session. We met under closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. We received advice from and consulted with the city attorney on Virginia Bradford et al. V. City of Dallas, as described in today's agenda. And under Section 551071 and 551074 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, and received advice from and consulted with William T. Hill, Jr., attorney at law, regarding his investigation of the details surrounding addendum number, item number 5 on the August 28, 2013 Dallas City Council agenda. We'll take our first action item for the afternoon, Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We begin the afternoon with your consent zoning agenda, which consists of agenda items number 56 through 59. However, Councilmember Carraway has pulled agenda item number 56, and Councilmember Callahan has pulled agenda item number 59. Therefore, your consent zoning agenda consists of agenda items number 57 and 58. Those will be read into the record, and then the public will be called to speak if they so desire. Agenda item number 57 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and renewal of specific use permit number 1912, for a late hours establishment limited to an alcoholic beverage establishment for a bar, lounge, or tavern on property zoned on property on the west line of Greenville Avenue, north of Alta Avenue. Other agenda item number 58 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for a public school other than an open enrollment charter school in R-10A single family district uses on property in the northwest quadrant of Abrams Road and Whitehurst Drive. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items? Are there any individuals in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Carroll would like to be recognized in regard to agenda item number 56.
I'd like to recognize him then.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you all for recognizing me today. I'd like to move to defer this item until November 12, 2013.
And a motion and a second for deferment. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 59 is a public. Okay, Mr. Mayor, we'll need to wait on agenda item 59, Councilmember Callahan.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Okay, we'll move now to agenda item number 60. It's a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1883 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store. 3,500 square feet or less on property on the northeast line of CF Hahn Freeway at the intersection of South Beltline Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 8 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 2 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Atkins.
Yes, I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Planning Commission on item number 60.
Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 61 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store, 3,500 square feet or less, on property on the southwest corner of Forney Road and South Buckner Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 10 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 1 reply in favor and 2 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor?
Santos Martinez, 900 Jackson, Dallas, Texas, 75202, representing the property owner. If you have any questions, we can help with. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ms. Mayor. I have. We're going to move this agenda item forward. I talked to the closest neighborhood association in that area, which is the Buckner Terrace Homeowners Association, and at this point they have met with that particular business owner, and they have worked out their issues with this particular business owner, and so I will move forward for approval.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement applies to item number 62 only. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Item number 62 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development subdistrict for GR General Retail Subdistrict uses on property with deed restrictions on the northern portion of the site on the northeast line of Fitzhugh Avenue between Cole Avenue and McKinney Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 427 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 87 replies in favor and 60 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation? Ma'am, if you'll please come forward, state your name and address for the record. You are allowed 2 minutes to speak.
Good afternoon, council members and Mayor Rawlings.
Laura Hoffman on behalf of the applicant, 500 Winstead Building. In order to allow for more time for discussion with surrounding property owners, we ask that this item be held under advisement until November 12th for open public hearing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Ms. Hoffman, don't go anywhere.
No further speakers at this time, Mr. Mayor.
I entertain a motion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have the applicant's representative. What law firm are you with, Ms. Hoffman?
I'm with Winstead PC.
Are you a bully?
Pardon?
Are you a bully?
No, I don't think I would be considered a bully.
Can
Mr.
you explain
Kingston?
The fertile octogenarian principle under the rule against perpetuities? I'm teasing. Ms. Hoffman took the bar recently and should get her results next week. Let's all wish her luck. Mayor, I move to hold this item until November 12th, keeping the public hearing open.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Do we have a second? Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda. We're going to move back now. We do have agenda item number 59. It's a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 1357 for an open enrollment charter school on property on the northwest corner of Bruton Road and McCutcheon Lane. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank
you. Councilmember Callahan, pull the item.
I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Callahan.
I've got it written as the move to keep the public hearing open and hold this case under advisement until November the 12th, 2013. But we can close the public hearing if there's no speakers here.
Whichever way you want to do it.
Okay, I move that we close the public hearing and hold this case under advisement until November the 12th, 2013.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 63 is a public hearing and approval of the fill permit and removal of the floodplain prefix from approximately 1,462 square feet of the current 1.589 acres of land located at 4040 Cochrane Chapel, of which 1.258 acres is within the floodplain of Bachman Branch, fill permit 13-03. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers on agenda item 63? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion by Ms. Gates.
I move to approve this item.
And a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 64 is a public hearing on the proposed City of Dallas fiscal year 2013-2014 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program Plan, and at the close of the public hearing, consideration of approval of the City of Dallas fiscal year 2013-2014 Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program Plan. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. It's citywide. That's mm-hmm. right. Okay, Mr. Caraway.
Second.
And Ms. Askins, a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 65 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by 2218 Bryan Street Limited, located near the intersection of Bryan and North Pearl Streets and adjacent street rights of way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to 2218 Bryan Street Limited by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. The following statement is required to be read into the record. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please step forward and identify yourself?
Good afternoon. My name is Frank Clark. I'm a senior consultant with W&M Environmental Group, 906 East 18th Street in Plano. I'm a professional geoscientist, and I'm here representing the MSD applicant, 2218 Bryan Street.
Thank you, sir. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval.
Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 66 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by Sullivan Asset Management, Inc., located near the intersection of South Haskell and Gurley Avenues and adjacent streets rights of way, and an ordinance authorizing the support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to Sullivan Asset Management, Inc., by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath a designated property as potable water. Again, the following statement needs to be read into the record. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would you please identify yourself?
Hey again, Frank Clark, W&M Environmental, professional geoscientist, representing Sullivan Asset Management, the MSD applicant.
Thank you, sir. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Carraway?
Move approval, Mayor.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 67 is a public hearing and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from James Hogg Elementary, a public school, to allow a mixed beverage permit with a food and beverage certificate for a proposed restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service on property on the northwest corner of North Bickley Avenue and El Dorado Avenue. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? So please come forward. You are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record, and your comments need to be addressed to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Sarah Tomerlin. I'm the owner of Dallas SD&B LLC, doing business as Spiral Diner and Bakery at 1101 North Beckley Avenue in Oak Cliff, and we are looking to get our license to sell beer and wine, and I'm just here to answer any questions if there are any.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Griggs.
Well, thank you, Mayor. I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing and move approval. Spiral Diner is just an absolutely great restaurant and great. I think you've been in the Bishop Arts District for how many years? Is it 5.5 years? So they've done a great job there. It's also probably the best vegan restaurant in the city of Dallas, if not the world, because if you're the best in the Dallas, then you're best. We're going to go ahead and say that. I think Dwayne's going to back me up on that. So I'll look for a couple seconds here and hand it over to Dwayne.
Okay. Yeah, Mayor, I'd like to respectfully second that motion. Are we going here after we leave council today? Second.
All right. Do we have another second?
Second.
Yes, Mr. Dwayne. Thank you. Any other nice comments about them? Okay. Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. I'd like to say, I'd like to recognize Mr. Stimson, former city councilman in this body, and thank you for all you're doing for Oak Cliff.
President,
thank you,
Bob.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Agenda item number 68 is a public hearing and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from L.G. Pinkston High School, a public school, to allow a wine and beer retailer's off-premise permit for a proposed general merchandise or food store greater than 10,000 square feet Minyard food store on property on the northwest corner of Northampton Road and Singleton Boulevard. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Any speakers? We do have an individual coming forward. You are allowed 3 minutes to. Mr. Hopkins, are you speaking on the item? Thank you. We do have an individual. We actually have two individuals coming forward. Again, you have 3 minutes. It will be important that you stay to the topic of the matter. Please state your name and address for the record.
LaColia London, 1783 Mockingbird. Okay, I don't understand why would you put alcohol next to a high school. Pinkston is right behind Men Yards. There don't need to be alcohol right there. I mean, you got a McDonald's you just put in. You got the GFC plant, which throwing chemicals in the air, killing the people. So why would you bring some more genocide to the neighborhood? We don't need no alcohol right by that high school. That's a high school. You got 16, 17, 18-year-old kids look like they grown. They not even forcing the cigarette, you know, 21 and over. They not forcing that. They not forcing the alcohol, 21 and over either. So it don't make any sense to put put alcohol in that store when you got high school kids right next door. I mean, I don't care how anybody feels, that don't make no sense. And y'all always putting it in the black neighborhoods and Hispanic neighborhoods. Come on, man. Highland Park got alcohol like that next to their kids' school? I don't think so. They don't want that by their kids' schools. I mean, that don't make any sense. I mean, everybody say don't make it a race issue. Mr. Mayor, racism exists here in Dallas, Texas. And all I know, this alcohol don't belong right there by that school. It's too many kids over there that can go and have access to the alcohol, and it's too close to the school. The 150 feet guideline, that's not enough. I mean, you have a junior high school right up the street from the Men Yard, Edison, which is right next to that plant that's throwing out pollution. So we got to do something about the stuff that's going on in West Dallas first, before you just start adding more problems. That's a problem. Bringing alcohol to the neighborhood is a problem. It's not nothing that's going to make the city look successful. So whoever the council member over with West Dallas, you got to do better with West Dallas, because you ain't doing a good job.
Mr. Mayor,
thank you.
Yeah, my name is William Harper. Mayor Rollins, I can't even get you to come and look at the Matty Nash Park. It's the regulest park in the United States. But now you want to put some liquor at the store for the people at Pinkston. I graduated at Pinkston. I remember when I was in high school, we used to go across the bridge and pay dope heads to go in and get liquor for us. Like at lunchtime, we'd get in the car and we'd go across the bridge, and it would be somebody over there that would, you could pay them money. They were so poor, you could give them money and they would go in and get liquor for you. They knew we was in high school, but they were so poor and we had money, and so they would do it for us. And so putting it this right in back of Pinkston, so you wouldn't have to go far to find a crackhead, some alcoholic that wanted some liquor, and the kid could give him money, and he would go in and get it for you because he wanted liquor, and he needed the money that we was going to pay him to go in and get the liquor. So this is a bad idea, instead of a liquor store, like computers in Pinkston, they need computers maybe. A weight room where the football players exercise, they may need a weight room or something in Pinkston instead of, so easy access is liquor. We're on the Superfund from EPA. We're on the Superfund in West Dallas from being so toxic. And with the city not doing nothing and nobody doing nothing.
We're getting off the subject.
The people are sick. The children are sick, so they don't need no alcohol. The children are sick from lead. We're dying, Mayor Ross. I've been saying this for 15 years. I've been coming down here for 15 years. The kids at the schools are dying. The plant was too close. We don't need no liquor to help kill those people.
Hopkins, I think you want to talk about the different subject.
But the people still dying.
Thank you.
I know you don't want to, by you being white, you don't want me to say that.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Mayor, City Council. Mayor, you know, when you first wanted to move over the grocery stores, first wanted beer and alcohol in the community, I was against it. I know it's all about money. The love of money is root to all evil, the way it's a sin of death. It's all about money. So what I want to say, you know, we had people, they would have to go buy beer or catch the bus to go get it. They drank very little. Since you all have moved the beer into the neighborhoods and alcohol and wine, people are drunk every day. And I see people, my people, some that, you know what I mean, need the money for other things. They're drinking from sun up to sundown. They're on the corner doing the same thing. I call it negative all the time. And it served a purpose to some people probably like it, want us to stay like that, some of our people. But I don't want it. I didn't want it in the liquor store, I mean a neighborhood, and I don't want it now. You used to have to catch the bus or get it from a bootlegger. Too much money, riding the money, you couldn't go catch the bus to get it. Now it's readily accessible in the community, down the street. It's not good. And it brings on the problem that you claim that we want to eliminate, certain people being drunk every day. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers? Please state your name and address for the record.
Okay, I'm Chancey Smalley, 2907 Northampton Road. I'm with Little Rascals Daycare and Learning Center. I'm the director there, and I'm also the founder of Jewel Foundation. We serve in West Dallas also. It stands for Justifying Every Walk That Elevates Life. I just want you guys to consider the fact that beer and wine is not supposed to be within 300 feet of a daycare, school, or church. I understand that there's a beer and wine store on Singleton already, but to put one right next door to our high school just kind of defeats the purpose of changing West Dallas. We have brought in the bridge. That's great. It's gave us access to West Dallas. More people are more concerned with West Dallas. I've had so many opportunities right now at the daycare center from the bridge and from the other things that have stimulated around West Dallas. Also consider the fact that the 7-Eleven directly across the street sells beer and wine. We may want to consider that to put it inside the shopping center, the same shopping center that denied me an after-school center. I asked them that. Please, let me have an after-school center to service 7th through 12th grade, because right now I service 6 weeks to 12 years old. Denied no, the same shopping center that Menard sits in. I also want to say that it's very rough, because I'm in that community every day, every single day. I'm there Monday through Saturday. Please consider the fact that there are people that are going to give these children alcohol, the same children, the same mothers that may drink too much and beat their children at night, the same uncle that may drink too much and rape their niece or nephew that night. Sandy Hook is just right here in Dallas, Texas, in West Dallas. It can happen anywhere. Anywhere. And when we make it accessible for our 21 and older, our teens, our schools, and we put it so close in our communities, just consider the fact that if you want to put it in near schools, beer and wine near the schools, let the area or the community be developed. West Dallas has came a long way. We have came so far. But if we do this, we're reverting backwards. And I believe we'll take our community back. And we'll be starting over in 10 years. Keep in mind why we put this ordinance in place in the first place. I know you guys are doing a relaxed, and you're kind of giving it as you go, but remember why this ordinance is in place in the first place.
Are there any other speakers?
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Ana Maria Ramos. I'm the executive director of our El Centro College West campus. It's located across the street from Pinkston, and I want to concur with my community counterparts here, and there were other individuals here who also wanted to advocate against the variant. I want to reiterate what she was saying, and that if you, many of you may have not been in that area in terms of what specifically they're talking about, but we have the Pinkston High School, and we're working really hard to develop a partnership with Pinkston and the dual credit classes, whereas the children will be walking across the street to our campus to further their education and to have access to college. And In all reality, and we all know, to be frank, selling alcohol will bring loiterers, will bring a certain type of community that we don't want. We already have the children combating the obstacles of walking home, and individuals are loitering in corners, and it's, you know, there's litter, what have you. And I challenge you to think about this on your own personal level. Would you want your high school student, your high school son or daughter or niece or nephew, and young child to walk home where there's people drinking, where there's people hanging out? And would you want to encourage that? Would you want to invite that? Is that okay for your family? Is that okay for your children? I would dare to say that you wouldn't want that, that that wouldn't be appropriate for what, how you would want your community to grow. And I would like for you to really listen to the community here who is speaking, that they don't want that either. And we have enough. Okay, fine. There's already one entity there, but we don't need another one. Just because you have one nuclear bomb doesn't mean you need two, right? Please, I invite you to really think about it from the family's perspective. There may not be, they may not have the money or the lawyers or what have you to speak up for them, but you are their voice, and I encourage you to speak on behalf of the children who may not have other advocates. You are their advocate, and please stop this from continuing to grow in this community. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers?
Santos Martinez, 900 Jackson, Dallas, Texas, 75202, representing Minyards in this case. I just want to point out that this store is 35,000 square feet, and as you go on I-30 heading west and you take a ride on Walton Walker and you come back to the river, this is the only grocery store that size that you will find in this part of the city. This morning you had a conversation on the value of having a brand new store at Simpson Stewart and Bonneview. You were looking at a similar circumstance with a store this size and this location that's asking to have one product, two products on its shelves that it is able to sell at all its other stores. There's one other store on Singleton that's about 11,000 square feet. That's the Jerry's Supermarket. You heard their request earlier this year. But Minyards is a very good corporate neighbor. Is not asking to sell beer and wine to people who are not of age. We train our staff and manage our property very well. We've been working with the property owner that has security on site, so we don't have loiterers or we ask people to move along. This is not a circumstance where you have a corporate neighbor who's looking to get something easy just to put on the shelves to add revenue. Minyards has been ongoing having conversations with the neighborhood. We have more conversations to go, and that's why we're asking to hold this case under advisement so we can continue those talks. But I do want to point out to you the circumstances and where we are, and that this is the largest grocery store that you will see in this part of the city, and the last operator left because they could not sell beer and wine. I don't think that that's something we want to encourage in this shopping center, as it's already going through a major overhaul to add new amenities on site and keep the tenants that are there. Stand for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak on the item? We have another individual coming forward.
Are there any other individuals? All right, no more. This is the last one. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Katrina Higgs.
Well, you can pull that down. Thank you.
Sorry. Good afternoon. My name is Katrina Higgs. I am a alumni of LG Pinkston. I am a resident of the West Dallas community. My daughter is a senior at LG Pinkston High School. I do not think that having alcohol and beer sold at Minyards is a good thing for the community, especially with it being right behind the high school. I understand that Jerry sells it, and I understand that Fiesta moved out. We were not given a reason why Fiesta moved out, but I've spoken to the community, and I represent the community, and we do not want beer and wine sold at that Minyards because our children can get it, regardless of how they get it, they can get it. I understand the last gentleman said that they have things in place, but I'm in that community every day. There is no security in that shopping center to prevent the children from getting what they want to do. Those children fight in that shopping center. So if they have the ability to fight and no one stops it, they can have the ability to get alcohol. So I'm just opposing that for the West Dallas community. Thank you.
Are there any? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming. And I apologize for those that were here, Mr. Mayor, before that also wanted to address it, but I had told them that I was going to make this motion. So I wasn't aware that it was going to go through in that manner. But I wanted to move to hold this item until November 12, 2013, with the public hearing left open.
Second.
We got a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Ms. Alonzo, and thank you all for coming. I want to just kind of say a couple of things to you and let you know. One, I understand exactly what you're talking about. And I fought, and I lost a lot of support, and I made a lot of people mad because I fought against beer and wine and the beer and wine ordinance, and I was fighting pretty much by myself. Made a lot of African Americans mad, made a lot of the business establishments mad, the grocery stores and everybody else, but I fought for what I felt and I knew was right. I have seen in my area what has taken place. Now the proof is in the pudding because everybody thought it was a gold rush. And little tobacco shops, and everybody went after beer and wine licenses, and some of them have gone out of business, and a lot of them are closing down, and some folks are even having to go pick up their beer and wine in their own car, not necessarily the beer truck. I do understand now that the grocery stores, however, they cannot compete with the other grocery stores unless they are selling the beer and wine. So they've said, and it's been proven around the city, that to get the quality grocery store in there, they got to have this beer and wine aisle for them to be able to sell that alcohol. I want to encourage you all, one, where you were when I was fighting, I don't know. But I certainly could have used your help, the help that you're putting out here today. I applaud you for standing up for what you believe and standing up for your children. I encourage you, since Ms. Alonzo has put it off for November the 12th, empower yourself, bring more people so that the folks can understand your message and what you're standing for. I was a little rascal once before, too, so I understand the nursing home around the corner. My first wife was from Pinkston High School, West Dallas, so I understand that nobody can tell me about West Dallas because I know firsthand about West Dallas. So at the end of the day, my message to you all is you're doing the right thing. Come down once again. Voice your opinion. Take part in the system. And don't buy everything that the system tells you either. Because the system said that we were going to get all these grocery stores, and we've not gotten them. We've gotten a few, but we've not gotten them, okay? And it's going to be all of this money. It's going to be $33 million into our general funds, and we turned around and closed libraries and pools and everything else. So I don't know where that money ever made it or where it ever went, but that was to psych us out. So I'm encouraging you to, and I'm proud of you today. It's the reason I told Ms. Alonzo I have to say something to you all. Because you're young. You are the future. You're taking your community into your own hands, as you should. And come down to the city hall and speak up. But bring some more folks with you. And then your voice will really be turned up a few more octaves, okay? So I'll see you all again on the 12th. And I appreciate you all being there, and I will be supporting Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Monica Alonzo, for your leadership on this issue. I was just going to say a few remarks, since I used to represent this portion of West Dallas off of Hampton and Singleton. And if I'm not mistaken, this shopping center is owned by the Dallas Housing Authority. And this was set up in the 1990s. The Walker Consent Decree happened. And part of that was not only what DHA had to do to make some changes to provide decent and dignified housing for all, but they needed to provide some type of retail and community services. And so that's where the origin of the shopping center is. So if I'm not mistaken, the shopping center is still owned by the Dallas Housing Authority, and they're under some obligation to give reduced rents, I imagine, since Dallas Housing Authority from the Walker consent decree to get a grocery store in there to meet their obligations. So something to think about in this case, which I know you're our Deputy Mayor Pro Tem is aware of this, but for the rest of the council, I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming down. This is it. You got a great neighborhood, a great high school there. A lot of good things are happening there in that intersection. I know you've got a new convenience store going in across the street. Another restaurant's going to go in at the northeast corner over there. And I know our Deputy Mayor Pro Tem is working hard on bringing a pharmacy too, or something like that. She picked up the baton on that. So just want to thank you for coming out. And keep in mind, this is a DHA property. And DHA controls all the leases there. And that is the reason, going back to the Walker consent decree, that DHA had to get into the commercial and community retail, because they had to provide quality housing. And part of that was to provide a grocery store. And so that's why we're here today with DHA owning that property and under the obligation to provide certain amenities. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. So we have a motion and a second to defer and keep the public hearing open. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Mr. Callahan wants to reconsider a vote.
Thank you, Mayor. I move that we reconsider item number 59, where I previously moved to close the public hearing. I now want to restate that motion and suggest that I move to keep the public hearing open and hold this case under advisement until November 12th.
Mr. Callahan, before you make that motion, a motion for reconsider.
Go ahead and take that.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. We're reconsidering. Now your motion.
Okay. I move to keep the public hearing open and hold this case under advisement until November 12, 2013.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to agenda item number 69, a public hearing and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from Thomas C. Marsh Middle School, a public school, to allow a wine and beer retailer's off-premise permit for a proposed general merchandise or food store greater than 10,000 square feet, CVS Corp., on property on the southwest corner of Forest Lane and Cox Lane. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item?
Santos Martinez, 900 Jackson, Dallas, Texas, 75202. In this instance, we have some conversations that are, again, still ongoing. We just ask we hold this case till November the 12th. Stand for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Gates.
I move to hold this item until the council meeting on November 12th.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your agenda items. We move now to your afternoon speakers. Your afternoon speakers are going to be Ozumba Lunks, William Hopkins, Tamara Barrett, LaKoya London, Roy Williams, Kermit Mitchell, Marvin Crenshaw, Dolores Phillips, and Herbert Wilborn. If your name was called, we would appreciate it if you would come closer to the podium to help facilitate the speaking process. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous, will be removed from the room. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. Please, when the timer turns to zero, allow the next individual their turn. You will need to state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Your first speaker is Ozumba Lunks.
Mr. Hopkins, come on down and sit in the front row if you don't mind. You do mind. Okay, that's really good.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Mayor, City Council, my name is Ozumba Lunks. You know, we can react, but we cannot prevent. We can create an atmosphere where maybe we can slow things down and help, you know, like that, but we really can't prevent anything, but we can create an atmosphere to help, you know, maybe try to stop it. But, you know, people going to react. We never know how they're going to react, you know, when they are going to react. Just like a man once said, he said, it's people that kill people, not guns don't kill people. It's the people that, you know, does it. Okay? Remember that. With God, all things are possible. God rules, and God has the answers to our problem. The word of God, well, let me say, the laws of the land, the laws of the land are supposed to be consistent with the word of God. And the Bible says to obey the laws of the land. The laws of the land are supposed to be consistent with the word of God. We are living in Revelation walk mode. The man in the mirror, you know that song, the man in the mirror, you know, I don't like this, I don't like that. Well, look in the mirror, what do you see? Get involved. You've heard that before. The last days, perilous times should come. For men should be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. I read stuff and I talk about a lot of things here, but I'm wrong. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. What a time, man. Oh, I'm sorry, man. Thank you, Hoppin. You know what? I'm getting old. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, whooping your kids. I heard this on the radio or the TV the other day. When a mother whoop a kid, it causes a different thing when a father whoop a kid. They're saying talk to a child. The Bible says don't spare the rod. I mean, I think we'll do better if we start doing what God tells us to do. We came away from God, and we're following man. God rules. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Longs.
Your next speaker is William Hopkins, followed by Tamara Barrett.
Yeah, my name is William Hopkins. Mayor Rollins, I went to the county yesterday, and I spoke at the county, and I gave Judge Jenkins a copy of the lawsuit where the city sued the RSR lead smelter. And I gave him a copy of where the city lied and told me that on the first letter I gave him the same as I've been giving down here for the last year or two. So I let Judge Jenkins know that the city had a health insurance for us and that he was trying to get Obamacare, that I didn't want him to go to get in trouble with the FBI, you know, trying to get Obamacare since it's federal now, and the city sued and sued the RSR in the 80s. And I let him know that you've been knowing for 2 years. The whole 2 years you've been here, I know you gave them $300,000, John them, $300,000, but I didn't want them to let the $300,000 blind them into getting into some kind of corruption with trying to use health care when the city already had it. You and Tanel busy? Do I get the time back? Are y'all trying to throw me off so I can not say what I want to say? And Tanel, he helped you a lot. Tanel threw the media out. When he was trying to find out about that deformed man got shot. Tanel Atkins threw the media out for the white people the other day. I saw that on the news. So I just wanted to say that before, right quick. Now back to where I was before you and Tanel interrupted me. West Dallas, I was down at the county. That's where I was. And I let Judge Jenkins know about the city and the lawsuit. And they was talking about the Deborah Walker. I heard Griggs talking about the Deborah Walker. The lady said she couldn't get a after school program or nothing in the shopping center for the kids after school program. But the county got about $30 million juvenile home in West Dallas, but she couldn't get no after school program in West Dallas for the kids. And Deborah Walker, they spent some money on some townhomes downtown too. They spent money on the zoo. With the Deborah Walker money, it was they stole the money, and since it's poor people, you could steal the money and spend it all over Dallas. And the Madden Nash Park, I want to ask about the Madden Nash Park too. While I'm at it, I asked you 2 years ago about the Madden Nash Park, and Dwayne Carraway says it's one of the nicest parks in Dallas, and I said that was a lie, Merrill Rollins, and I asked you to go by and look at it. And you went by and looked at it. By you being white, you still won't say nothing because it's the raggedest park in the United States. And you want to help Dwayne with this nicest park in Dallas because it's black kids. And that's why you won't say nothing. Maybe you could get Tanel Atkins to go over there and look at it since, you know, you got people running around for you. Thank you for your time.
Your next speaker is Tamara Barrett.
Not present.
No, he's coming forward.
Oh, there you go. Oh, sorry, I didn't see him over there.
Criminal activities in my neighborhood. First time I was here, I was a little bit nervous, but now I'm just talking to you. I want to speak on the criminal activity in my neighborhood. Now, a couple of days ago, I had to call the police because it was criminal activity in my neighborhood. And I'm trying to, in my initiative, to keep down violence. I know where anytime it's criminal activity in my neighborhood, it's going to be violence going to follow behind. Now, I'm a veteran of the United States Navy. I'm a veteran from the United States Navy, and I protect my country. And now I'm here back home in my father's house. I want to protect my neighborhood because the same thing that's going on in Pinkston with the alcohol and stuff, you have the crack houses and people are selling crack and stuff in my neighborhood. And the same key is impressionable to that. It's like on the Morrell train station, we have the prostitution and drug deals and things going on in that area. And that's supposed to be a public place for people to catch the bus, but you got people from Roosevelt High School, where I went to school, is having to go down that area and being propositioned by people wanting to think they are prostitutes and things. Thank you.
Your next speaker is LaCoya London. Ms. London's going to be followed by Roy Williams, Kermit Mitchell, Marvin Crenshaw, Dolores Phillips, and Herbert Wilborn.
LaCoya London, 1783 Mockingbird. Okay. I'm here concerning Cynthia Johnson. She's been down here before. She's been down here before. She done been to DPD. She done talked to Governor Slick Rick Racist Parrish. She done talked to, everybody. And we want to understand how 4 years ago she got sick in the hospital, had a stroke, and anybody lose their speech and then can't move and have symptoms. Everybody know what a stroke is. You ain't really got to go to medical school to know what a stroke is. Okay. She's been trying to get help on the issue, but nobody seemed to really care. All y'all want to do is slap people with that SSI. Everybody don't care about that. We want to go into the court system and let these judges know, hey, look at what they did to me. You know, we want to do that. My daughter the same way. You know, 2010 February, she took some medicine for ADHD. And had a slight stroke. Guess what? She was 9 years old. They wanted to do some behavior modification on a child and didn't know the symptoms of what it can do to every child. Every child can't take that medicine. It's a killer, a silent killer, and it's killing children. And when she got hurt last year in February, you know, some adults broke her limb on her body. They decided to do something about it. They want to give me some SSI because somebody broke her hand. What happened to the medicine? I mean, I think the medicine making her sick is more important than them people breaking her hand. All I wanted was somebody to go to jail. That's it. And some people at DISD to be fired if you took part in it. Okay, going back to Cynthia. She has yet to know or be told why she can't talk or speak fluently without interruptions. Okay, she's never had any kind of speaking impairment until, you know, they start working on her. Her pressure is out of control, can't be maintained or controlled with the medication they give her. She get a short little pain running through her body, through her arms and left chest, and also in her breast area. She still has lost mobilities and has complications ringing in her ears at times. Her muscles are weak. She has a loss of hair, Her scalp is tender and sore, as well as softening spots. Okay, she has seen plenty of doctors, and all she wanted some help on someone to do something about the issue. Because you got to understand, we people in the medical field, when they mess up, they can't just keep covering up what they did, you know, and that's what they're doing. They're covering up what they did. And so she just wants some kind of help. And like I told you, Governor Perry, you know, he don't care about us black folks, you know, and we want some help some kind of way or another.
Your next speaker is Roy Williams. Mr. Williams is going to be followed by Kermit Mitchell, Marvin Crenshaw, Dolores Phillips, and Herbert Wilborn.
Good afternoon. My name is Roy Williams, 13410 Preston Road, Suite C, number 421. I'd like to give thanks and praise to the Creator that we arrived here safely today, and I hope you'll return to your domicile or wherever you go be safely embraced. Last time I was here, about 2 weeks ago, and I was appealing to this council, to the Public Safety Committee, to the council person to represent that district, to reach out to the family of Donald Madden Jr., who was shot in the face and lost half his jaw. Over 40 days ago, and yet, till this moment, which just baffles my mind, nobody from the city, Public Safety Committee, no one has reached out to this family, Mr. Mayor. And I think that's real insensitive. I hear the group before me speaking about the protection of our young people from alcohol. We need the protection from lead, too, as well. Because this young kid, 8 years old, life will never be the same again. He has totally been robbed of his innocence. But yet and still nobody around this horseshoe, for the most part, those that have ability to do something have done anything, have not reached out. Case in point, October the 8th, Detective Sparacino called the family at Children's Hospital, rehab, behind Baylor, and asked if the mayor and some of the council members could come and visit DJ. The mother gave the permission. The family waited to 9 o'clock. No one showed up. No one sent a call, said we're not coming. I think that's unacceptable, Mr. Mayor. If you're not going to come, don't call. You know, and that has been the case. If we're looking at a situation where a person was shot innocently, an 8-year-old boy, we found out this morning that the perpetrator said the reason he shot him was because he wanted to. This sounds a lot like a racial intent to me, because the kid, 8 years old, hadn't done anything, had never met the man, and yet and still, no one here, Mr. Mayor, act as an ambassador to come to this family and say, we're sorry what has happened. I hope we don't have to wait 40 years like we did with the Santos Rodriguez scenario to get some type of consideration. It's not fair, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. If you'll stay around, we just have a couple more speakers. I'll speak to you because I'm not sure you've got all the information, and I'll tell you what's happened. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
I send them on all the information. Yeah. I'll stay around.
No problem. Thanks, Mr. Williams. Mr. Carraway?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Roy, for coming down. And Mayor, I'm glad that you're going to have a visit with him. I want to say, and Jerry can always speak for himself, but I do want to say, Roy, that it's my understanding that Mr. Allen, in which is in his district, they structured, he has reached out, and Mr. Allen has set up an account, and this is something that folks are aware of. I'm just telling you what we know that has taken place. and I just want to commend it, but make public that he stepped up to the plate, and that was the day that you left out that information did come forth after you had left. But I just want to acknowledge that publicly that Mr. Allen has stepped up to the plate, the mayor. And Mayor, you're going to get with Roy afterwards and give you some more details.
And I'll be part of that conversation, Roy. I'll be part of that conversation too.
We'll grab a second.
Okay,
good. Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Kermit Mitchell. Mr. Mitchell is going to be followed by Marvin Crenshaw, Dolores Phillips, and Herbert Wilborn.
Kermit Mitchell, 5659 Marblehead Drive, Dallas, Texas, District 3. I'm here again about the Dallas Convention Center Hotel. And there's issues here that we need a memorandum of understanding from the council to go forward and sell the hotel out of what is $480 million that's been spent to develop the hotel. It's only worth appraised value, Dallas Central Appraisal District, $217 million. All right. We need to be able to get some understanding to be able to sell the hotel. But then also there is a issue of refinancing the debt. The debt on the hotel in 2009 was at 7% plus interest. And now we can refinance that debt at 4%+ interest. That 3% difference is $350 million over 30 years on that debt. I'm going to ask that there be some issue here towards trying to save that. There would be some people in Dallas that might say that the people of Dallas deserve that saving. There would be some other people that say that there would be others that would be responsible to save it for them. And consequently, the refinancing of that debt from 7% where it is right now to 4%, 4+, whatever it is right now, is one of the issues that I'm bringing before you. We need a memorandum of understanding. And what we said to the refinancing of the debt is a January 1st, 2014 event. But it needs a 30-day notice to the bondholders. And that's December 1st, 2013. So consequently, there's no time to waste on this, if we will, to go forward and to get these things moving. If we're prepared to do so. You want RFPs? What time do we have for RFPs at this point? We are prepared to go forward and look to refinance that debt, as well as buy the hotel out of what is $480 million of debt that was used to develop that hotel. We've run the numbers. If we were to operate that hotel at 88%, which is literally full capacity, it could not support the debt. It has to come out of there. Take the baby out of the bathwater. $350 million to refinance that to be saved. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Marvin Crenshaw. Not present. Dolores Phillips. Not present. Herbert Wilborn. Not present. That concludes your speakers, Mr. Chairman.
Meeting adjourned.
Meeting adjourned at 4:18.